can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got soul. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. You know, it's really embarrassing when you kind of screw up the title and you can't really try to edit it because you look like an idiot. But that's what I did. I screwed it up. That's what I do. Good morning, everybody. I know we're late, but we're still in the morning here in California. It's 10:34 in California. Check your phone. Check the number on your dial. That's it. That's it. You know what time it is. It's time for me. It's time for me. I'm a shy, humble host. I am really shy. You would have to really support me to get my personality out there. Just a shy guy. I live my life that way. What I'm going to do is my phone and it's blowing up right now, and I have to take that important call. So what I got to do, welcome to the show. I'm going to go right to a break and come back to see you guys because it's throwing me off. I have to I'm a really important guy, and it's an important meeting that I really have to go to, but it's only going to take a couple of minutes. But I have to do it. I have to do it. So what I'm going to do is Pat's in the studio. And she's going to take over the show. And Pat has been trained by me. She's a talkative person. She knows what to do. And I'm going to leave this to Pat. Pat is going to take over the show for 5 minutes. And she's going to talk about what Pat talks about. And you got to hear this first time ever Pat over the line has been a host on a radio show. She will take it. She knows it's coming because she's a psychic, so she's prepared. All right? So, ladies and gentlemen, Pat's going to take the show, and I'll be right back. Hello, Pat. Are you ready to make your radio debut? Hello.
Yeah, but what am I talking about?
I don't know. You are the host, and whatever you talk about, they're going to love it.
Oh,
but
I
you
see.
Won't, you know, I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint. You always talk about what you know. And I will be back in about 6 minutes because I have to take an important call. But I would talk about there's a lot of people out there who are skeptics about psychics, okay? There's a lot of people out there who are skeptics about spirituality and ghosts. There's a lot of people out there that don't believe in God. There's a lot of people out there that don't believe in heaven. And at one point, you were a Christian. Am I correct?
Oh, I was, yeah.
Okay. You were. See, the word was. So I would think it'd be very interesting if you just tell your story, how you got away from Christianity and how you found your faith somewhere else. Because there's a lot of people right now are thinking, you know what, there's a crisis in my life. I pray to the Lord, and there's people who said the Lord will help me, and sometimes they get disappointed. But at one time, you were that person. And then you discovered something else. So why did you do it? Why did you go to one area and say you left Christianity and you went here? I think that would be a good subject. What do you think? And then I'll be back by the time you're done. All right.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you. First time on the radio, Pat is going to host her show. She's going to tell you what it is. And let me tell you how she got to this point. She gave me great sex. Yes, she did. That's how you get up here. That's how you become the host.
3,000 mile distance sex, eh?
Oh, that was great. Even though she was in Canada, I was here. Oh, it was wonderful. That's how you did. She slept with the host, and now she's hosting the show. Kids, what have we learned? Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, my psychic and your psychic, Pat Oberlein. Take it away, Pat. I'll be right with you. Bye.
Okay. Hi. He wants me to talk about Christianity and psychics. So I've always been a psychic, always, even as a kid. I didn't know it was weird. I thought it was normal to hear spirits and see things and know what's going to happen to people ahead of time. I thought it was absolutely normal as a kid until I hit high school. So, yeah, I was in the church until I was about 18 or so, maybe 20. But I had an event happen where I was confronted with people that were either devil worshippers or Satanists or something. And I was confronted with a being that changed in front of my eyes and asked me if I was going to win when we were in an intense situation. And I did go back to the church, and I got them to clean me up from the psychic bull that happened at that house. And they gave me a medallion to wear, kept those people away. It was blessed. I'm not a great believer in Christianity. I believe in, I don't know what I believe in. I do believe there's a great spirit, like the overall spirit. I guess you could call it God. I've run into it a few times. And when I died, I've died three times. And, yeah, they didn't want me. They kept sending me back. So I don't think Christianity works for everybody. It's the dogma. It's the forcing beliefs down your throat. I think that's the part I didn't like. I didn't enjoy. And I didn't believe it. I only had one priest his name was Canon Standish. Anyhow, he really believed what he was doing. And when he passed away, my interest in the church was gone because the people that followed him did not believe. They were just doing the job. They were, I don't know why they were in the profession, but there certainly was a difference between the feel of it from the time Mr. Standish was there. And he was a really good man, but it was him, not the church, that was the draw. So, I had to walk away from the church. I couldn't tolerate the, I don't know, it's, the dogma doesn't make sense. And I took university medieval history. And what they tell you about the church and organized religion in there is enough to curl your hair. So, you know, between the Inquisitions and the other things they have done to people like the North American Indians and whatnot in the belief of Christianity, it's a very sour thing to me. I can't stand behind something like that. And my belief systems are very different because I'm a psychic. I believe in the self. I believe we all have a core of a spark of divine in us. And it's a matter of finding it, but you don't find it by struggling for money or one-upping the other guy. You don't find it that way. You find it by introspection. You find it by letting go. I don't know how else to describe it other than letting go. And when I passed away last time, I was in a coma for about a month, I think. I don't remember because I wasn't there. When I woke up, all the trauma, all the bad stuff was gone from my head. I only remember the events without emotional, I don't know, what would you call that, emotional horror at what happened? I don't care anymore. I'm not affected. And I know that's a pretty extreme way to clear your mind, but it did happen. But the psychic thing is very hard to describe. When you are near a spirit, you actually feel it. You feel a disturbance in the force, so to speak. And they can, at times, move physical objects. It's rare, but they can move physical objects. They are real. And what happens is a spirit gets trapped in this dimension. When the person passes away, they don't go on. They don't pass through. And it's like they're on repeat. It's like having a trailer to a movie that just repeats over and over and over. That's what these spirits are doing because they can't release themselves.
I am the spirit of your soul. I will talk to you. Thank you. Thank you so much, sweetheart. You did great. You did great.
Did I? Okay.
You really did. You really did. I was listening to you, and I was not only was I intrigued, you got me excited.
Oh, no.
Right now, I'm sitting with a Woody.
Oh, my. From that.
No, but thank you so much. Thank you for filling in with me. I had to take an emergency call. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Pat. I kid around with Pat because she's my friend. But Pat, professionally, I call her, she denies it that she even knows me, but I call her my psychic. She denies me because it's bad for business that I recommend her as one of the best. I love her dearly, and she's very professional.
It's not bad for business, hon. I just, my phone wasn't working, and I wasn't really set up for it. So.
You did great. I want to thank you for taking over the show. And probably you talking, I got more listeners. They go, oh, who's this dude? All right, I'm going to hang up now. Hey, come back. I know Pat. Thank you so much. I didn't mean to interrupt you, and I know that could go on, but you did really good. And, Pat, please tell people how to reach you if they need to talk to you or want to go with your services.
SpiritualCanada.ca, members directory under readings and messages. You can call me or connect with me on Messenger. I don't do a lot of social media because of my condition with my head. I don't remember a lot of things. I forget to look. So, you know, the best way to contact me is to call and or email me at patoberline1@gmail.com. Okay, that's about it, Brian.
Well, there you go. And it would behoove you, if you're in a state of maybe spirit, but it'll make sense. Spiritual confusion? How's that? If you're I coined that, spiritual confusion. Maybe, you know, sometimes you don't have to be afraid. Sometimes it's hard to follow Christianity and the rules. And I know sometimes people get confused and say, there must be something different. I'm not getting the right answer. And so many people are making money off of Christianity. I don't believe that anymore. And sometimes you need to be awakened, a spiritual awakening with something a little bit more deeper in spirituality. And if you are confused and if you're thinking about that, or like all humans, we have a crossroad that we must take, whether we go right or left. And sometimes a little spiritual guidance can kind of sway you to go the right way. Right, Pat?
It can make a big difference. Big difference.
It could.
The reading will give you options.
Sure.
Options are, you know, in a reading, they tell you if you go this direction, you can expect that result. If you do this, you can expect that. It's more psychology than based in situation with me. Like a lot of the readers, they talk about your neighbor, your cousin, your partner. I don't do that much. I more deal with the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because the mind is where everything comes from. All reality comes from your mind.
It does. And I agree with, in this world right now, people are talking about AI, artificial intelligence. But we're not paying attention to MI, mental illness. Yeah, you can put that on your T-shirt. I do that.
You're mentally ill there, Brian.
No. I'm not. I'm not. But you are. You are a cute cuckoo. You're my little cute cuckoo. No, I'm only kidding. But the seriousness of it. You know, it's funny when you listen to the Hammer Show. You'll see the title, and we'll eventually get there. I promise you. But you never know what can happen on this show. I mean, we get on a train and says, okay, we're going right into this tunnel, and we know where we're going. Not so with this show. It's like, I thought we were going here. Now I got Pat hosting a show, and we're talking about spiritual awareness, and I like it. You know, you never know. And I say, we're talking about, and if you really think what I said is really philosophical, because we're too busy. Right now, there's a woman who shot up. She put a bullet into a mega church, Joel Austin's church. And if you look at the headline, and right now they're talking about how disturbed she is. She's mentally ill. We do this. We put that word out so often. And we have to really examine why we do it. A kid would shoot up a church. He's mentally ill. He may not, because the scary fact of it is, he may not be mentally ill. And the reason we say that, we don't want to say that because it scares us, because it lets humans know that any of us at any given time can cross that line. So we say words that will make you feel safe, like, well, he's mentally ill. Because no human being is going to accept himself as a MI. So we're going to say, we're safe. We're safe, honey. This is not going to happen to us because they were mentally ill. It's not going to happen to our kid because he's just angry, but he's not mentally ill. So when we use those words, we kind of put a wall saying, they did that. That happened there. It doesn't happen every day because, quote, they're mentally ill. Because they're not going to really tell you the truth. That any given time, any given moment, we can cross that line. That is the truth, and that scares humans to death, that you can lose it, that the people who've been married for 30 years and their loving family, all of a sudden a guy comes home and he chokes his wife and blows his brains out and kills his kids. Well, a week ago, Fred was at the company picnic, and Fred was voted the best employee of the year. Fred was at Cub Scouts. Fred would blow off his wife's head and kill his kids in a tub with a toaster. That's not Fred. But you know what they're going to say? Don't worry about it. You're safe because Fred was mentally ill. Fred was not mentally ill 2 weeks ago. Fred had problems. Well, we all have problems. See, that's the truth that scares everyone, that any given moment, any human being can go to the other side at any given moment. We always use excuses. Well, he's on drugs. Really? Yeah, he did it because he's on drugs. Oh, okay. Oh, before the big drugs? Oh, he was smoking marijuana. You know what that marijuana does? Ooh, the marijuana. When I was a kid, we had they showed a film when we were in school. It was called Reefer of Madness.
Reefer Madness.
Remember that one? So I saw that film in eighth grade. And if you never saw Reefer of Madness, please go to YouTube and watch Reefer of Madness.
You've got to watch that. It's hilarious.
You've got to watch it. And this is where marijuana was, you know, ooh. And so what Reefer of Madness does is, like, if you smoke a joint, I think I'll play it. I don't know if it'll play in audio. I don't know how well it would do in audio because it's a more of a visual thing.
No, it's so visual. You have to see it to...
You have to really see it. But Reefer Madness was about scaring kids straight. So you're sitting there as a young eighth grade, and you're going, oh, what's this? Well, it's the reefer. And then you're watching it, and then the narration goes, well, have you think about taking marijuana? And it'll show a guy going to a mirror. Well, if you take marijuana, this will happen to you. And the guy looks in the mirror, and all of a sudden there's a monster that appears. And then he loses his mind. The reefer got a hold of him, and he's losing his mind, and he's falling into this weird world. And then the guy decides to get in the car, and he goes, and Joe decides that he wants to drive on the reefer. So he gets in the car, and he runs over four or five people. And
didn't we have people hiding in the closet, too?
You got people hiding in the closet. You got to see it. You would laugh.
It's hilarious.
Now because
and they go insane and start laughing manically.
They do go insane. They do go insane.
It's hilarious.
So back in the day, if you did something, it's like, oh, he was on the reefer. Well, remember Ted? Yeah, what happened to Ted next door? Well, Ted went to college, and then he started shooting people from the steeple. They think Ted was on the reefer. He was probably on. And then they would interview him. Yeah, I remember Ted. He used to come in with a joint, and we knew he was acting funny because he kept eating our shit, and we had to kick him out the dorm because we couldn't afford him anymore. He was acting strange. He was on the reefer. I remember. And then you get the girl. Hi, do you remember Sally? Oh, I remember Sally. Oh, it was a sad thing. You know, Sally died the other day. Oh, how did she die? Well, she committed suicide. Well, you know, when I was in college, Sally smoked a joint. And next thing I know, she was in bed with this guy that she didn't even know. Yeah, she was on the reefer. So I guess what we're doing, what I'm saying is that we are blaming, we're so afraid of AI that we're not really focusing on MI, which is mentally illness. And if you look at the category, what makes you think that you're mentally ill, you can pull it up on the web or Google, and it's so general. Because I said, okay, maybe I'm mentally ill, so let me check web ID. Okay. So it says, all right, Brian, let's see if you're mentally ill. I go, okay. And so they will list things like, are you depressed? Well, yeah, I was kind of depressed yesterday. Check the box, mental illness. Oh, do you have anxiety? Yeah, I'm a little nervous. Check the box, mental illness. I go, damn. How's your diet? Are you eating a lot of hamburgers? Well, yeah, okay. Check the box, mental illness. You have trouble sleeping? Well, I didn't say. Well, check the box, man. It's so basic. It is so basic that if you, and don't believe me, go to Google and check what are the signs of mental illness. It will have depression, anxiety, anxiousness, fogginess, whatever, dizziness, whatever. But they're so basic that these are human traits. Sometimes I am anxious. Sometimes I don't sleep. Sometimes I think about things that I shouldn't think about. But if you look at that category, they're checking boxes like crazy that I'm mentally ill. And it's done by purpose. You know why it's done by purpose? Because the pharmaceutical companies want you to be on medication. This is the secret, everybody. There are billion-dollar, mental illness is a big business. Depression, anxiety, big business. A disorder, major business. Are you have a disorder? Yeah. Are you a psychopath, a sociopath? Are you psychologically unfit? Yeah. Do you hear voices at night? Yeah, I would turn down my speaker, but when I turn them up, I hear voices. No, I'm not talking about that, Brian. I'm just talking about voices in your head. I'm going to say something. You know, when I do work, I'll draw characters and everything, and I'll give them funny voices. Because when I do a script or something, like I'll draw Mickey Mouse. Hi, how you doing? And this is how Mickey would talk, because it's in my head. This is Mickey's voice. Hi, how you doing? Now, does that make me mentally ill? So what I am just trying to say to you is that we do things to settle people down, to control people's minds. And it's like that woman who put a bullet in that church, in the mega church, Joel Osteen's church. Right now they're saying to, all I'm hearing, she had problems. Well, we all have problems. She was mentally ill. There were signs that she was mentally ill. There were signs she was mentally ill. You know, a lot of those signs, I don't put a bullet through a church, but I have some of those signs. Donald Trump has a lot of those signs.
Oh,
is he mentally ill? And if you look at Donald Trump and you go through some of the characteristics of mental illness, and, you know, let's just do this. Let's just do this. And signs, again, you saw the show. So when you listen to the Brian show, you'll see the title. And all of a sudden, why are we talking about mental illness? Because it's a sign of life. Sign of mental illness. No, I'm going to check the box and you're going to see what I'm talking about. This is a setup. It's a setup for you to get prescriptions, the pharmaceutical setup. Don't think that doctors don't work with the pharmaceutical company. See, sometimes you think, well, doctors are supposed to be new. Sometimes doctors, and usually private practices, you know, pharmaceutical companies give them samples. You would not think of it. I worked at a movie theater and I got samples. Hey, Brian, try this popcorn. Yeah, what is that? Well, it's camel corn. Why are you putting camel in corn? Yeah, try this, Brian. Yeah, what is that? I have had that. Now I got black hairy tongue. Okay, that won't sell. You get samples, right? Even weed. Back in the day, you used to get samples. When you go to your first weed man, it's like, hey, Brian. I go, yeah. Hey, Brian. I go, yeah. Hey, Brian. I go, what? That's how the weed man talks. And then he goes, you know I'm the weed man. Yes, you're the weed man. Why are we whispering? It's 12 midnight. We're in the alley. Nobody's around us. I know. It just makes it more ominous if I whisper. That means you're going to get some better shit. If I was talking loud, the shit is weak. But if I whisper, the shit is strong. Shh. Okay. They should put me away, right, Pat? They did get rid of me. So anyway.
No.
So you got to whisper because you know it's good. Because if a woman says, hey, Brian, I want to fuck you. Okay. And then she whispers, hey, Brian. I go, yes, I want to really fuck you. Uh-oh, boner time. The whisper always gets you. It's the whisper. Because you know it's something ominous when somebody whispers. I mean, I could be in the library and all of a sudden I don't know nobody and go, psst, yeah? Hey, come here. Uh-oh, it must be important. I don't know you, but I must go. Because that whisper. It's that whisper. Right, Pat? It's that whisper. You know something bad.
I guess it works on animals, too. When they whisper to dogs and cats, they act really weird.
They think you're a freak. Uh-oh, mommy's acting again. She's petting me funny. Come here, Mr. Fred. Uh-oh, his little tail was standing up and Fred's out. Come on. I don't know. Come on. Uh-oh, last time you put me in a volcano, that was not cool. I freaked out for 8 months. But every time you whisper, we're not going through that trip again. But I'm just saying.
Yeah, I had to buy volcano parts. God damn it.
But we are conditioned. And if you really want to think about it, how many people over the age of 30, I'm saying 30, I used to go older, are on some kind of form of medication? Think about it. Think about what our society has. Some form of medication. And who's putting us on this medication? And then wake up. I hate that word, woke. But why are a lot of us are on medication? Well, you know, Brian, yes, Doc, your blood pressure is just a little high. Just a little high? Well, let me give you some of this. I mean, you're like my drug dealer. You whisper to me, yeah, Brian, it's going to make your blood pressure go down. Hey, Doc, back off. But think about it. If you're listening to my voice right now, I guarantee you, you're on some form of medication. And medication could be I'm taking aspirin because I got headaches, or I'm taking anxiety pills because I got this. I need to sleep, so I'm taking this. I need to function because I need to stay awake, so I'm drinking this coffee. I'm not drinking this coffee because I like it. I'm drinking this coffee because it's a stimulant. And a stimulant is a form of medication, believe it or not. Anything that you take internally that can affect your mind or affect your senses, you could classify it. I'm no doctor, but I'm just using my senses as medication. Weed, medication. Cocaine, medication. Fentanyl, medication. Anything that medicates you, that changes the body chemistry in your body, is a form of medication. I'm no doctor, but call me wrong. We're going to get into, here we go. These are the symptoms of mental illness, as they say. Now, tell me if you had any of these symptoms, because if you have two or three of these symptoms, you're kind of classified as an MI. And remember, I coined that phrase. Instead of AI, you're MI. Here we go. These are one of the symptoms. Confusion. Depression. Social withdrawal. I'm going to stop there. Confusion. Have you ever been confused at all about what decision you're going to make or what way you're going to go or who you should talk to or thinking who you should block or maybe it should be a friend and you're cautious about that? I think that classified as confusion. I don't know. I would check with Pat. Pat, can that be classified as confusion?
No, that's normal thinking, honey.
Yeah, but couldn't that, but what is the, but confusion, so in your term, what is confusion then? What is the definition of confusion?
When you really don't know what you're doing, like when your mind is definitely missing in action, you know when you're like that.
Well, the definition of confusion, there seems to be some confusion about what system does what. He cleared it up, the confusion over the pie, the shaken survivors retreat in confusion, but they're not giving me the definition. But listen to this. I think I got it right.
Confusion.
Let me see.
Confusion.
Let's see more. A disorderly jumble. All I can see is a confusion of brown cardboard boxes, the state of being bewildered or unclear in one mind about thinking, the mistaking of one person or thing for another. It has a lot of variations of what confusion is. Cloudy, unsure. Would you say that part of confusion, Pat?
Yeah. But
okay.
You're taking it too far, honey.
Well, I have to, kiddo, because there are some people right now who are confused. We had that subject about being confused whether you stay in Christianity or you want to experience more spirituality. It's almost like it's such a long line of a lot of things that if I say to you, I asked you about the show, hey, Pat, tell me about what kind of show that Brian Hammer has. Just, I'm asking you straight out. What kind of show does he have?
For the confused one.
Exactly. I have no idea. I don't know why I'm here. I'm really confused. I don't know why I like this guy. He's not likable. I know. So we go here. Part of MI, the symptoms are confusion, depression. Okay, let's go there. How many of us have been depressed in our lifetime? How many of us are depressed now? Right? That's pretty easy. Depression.
I was suicidal, Brian.
Right. Right.
For 15 years.
Sure. Now, how many times have you picked up a rifle and you shot people out your door while you're making your lemonade? And that's my point.
Unfortunately, no, you know, like.
Stop it. I don't want to be a witness to your account. No, but that's my point. That is my point. We go a little further. Depression. I've been depressed. I've had confusion. Social withdrawal. Social withrawal. I used to be on Facebook. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on Twitter anymore. I withdraw that. I'm a private person. I don't hang around with a lot of people. I don't get parties. I like to go out. I like to go out with my girlfriend, but I don't like to go out with a lot of people. So you could say I'm social withdrawal. I'm not a party guy anymore.
No, you're not, Brian.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I am.
I am.
No, you're not. You're on the radio. You're not. See, that's the thing.
That's the only thing I do. Go out.
Right. But that's my point. You're on the radio. So you're not a social withdrawal. You're interacting with me, and you're interacting with millions of my fans, and I do say millions.
Really?
Millions. Oh, sure. All over the place. Millions of confused and depressed people are listening to you right now. My MIs are ready to go. Don't make me activate them. But I guess the meaning what I'm trying to say, and I know Mr. Solutions here because I can see the 111, I can feel him. But if you want to talk to me, all you have to do is hit the number one on your dial. I hit the number one on your dial. That means you want to talk. The other time, you're just listening. But we're going to get here. So this is classified as mental illness. So far, we got confusion. We got depression. Social withdrawal. Extreme feelings of pleasure. Extreme feelings of pleasure is another sign of mental illness. You cannot have and what does that mean, extreme feelings of pleasure? If I'm masturbating and I'm going to come, do I just choke my penis and go, ah, you bad son of a bitch? I mean, is that when I go, ooh, I like that. Is that extreme pleasure? I don't know what that means. I have no idea, and I had no idea that extreme feeling of pleasure classified as mental illness. You see, they're crossing the board. Now we can't even be happy. We cannot have extreme pleasure. You're like, Brian, you are so freaking happy. You are really elated today. You are mentally ill because you're so happy. Oh, shit, I got to calm down because it's too extreme. Too extreme.
Brian, you want to know a laugh?
Yeah.
I went to my shrink about a week and a half ago.
Uh-huh.
I told him, I said, I'm too happy. It's causing problems. He thought I set up to listen to a problem. And I said, Jesus Christ. I said, I don't know. It's causing me problems. People are not liking it.
Exactly. Exactly, and that tells you something about our society. We don't want you to be happy. Too much happiness is like, what's wrong with you? Rome is burning. Donald Trump may be president, and you're sitting around going, oh, it's a happy day. Something's wrong with you. But it's true. And it goes here. Here's another one. So extreme pleasure, feeling of extreme pleasure, anger. They put anger in here. Some of the symptoms of mental illness is anger. Now, who doesn't get upset once in a while? And then they have another thing. Here's another symptom to illness. Excitement, fear, or grief. is part of mental illness. Yeah.
Are they trying to say every kind of mental condition
yes.
is
Thank you.
Mental illness?
Thank
That's
you.
That's ridiculous.
Thank you.
People
but this
have
is classified...
emotions.
Exactly. So they're telling you, remember, all these tests are, when you go on the internet and you look at something that you may have a psychological problem, you got to keep reading because these tests, it'll tell you, if you have a problem, please call 1-800-DOCTOR, I can fix it. These tests are made for you to lose, not to win. You're supposed to lose because if you win, you don't need them. These tests are so
That's
general,
right.
so broad, that they're made for you to lose, and they're putting normal things as human beings in there to say, you may need help. Excitement? Do you have excitement? Well, sometimes. Do you have fear? Oh, my God, yes. Do you have grief? Yes. My friend just died. You're mentally ill. They do it to a point where you have to lose. You're not going to win.
That's right.
And here's the cause of it. Then they have causes of mental illness. Long-term substance abuse. If you have long-term substance abuse, you're mentally ill. Yeah, that causes mental illness. So, and here's another one. Prenatal damage to the brain. Prenatal damage to brain. I don't know what that means, prenatal damage to the brain, but these are the cause of mental illness. Injury to the brain. Cause of mental illness. Exposure to toxin. Now, exposure to toxins, what we eat, what we drink, what we breathe, the air we breathe are toxic. They could be toxin. Vitamins could be toxin. Food could have some toxins in it. Medication has toxins in it. So you're saying exposure to toxins?
Oh, they're trying to scare us about everything, Brian.
Exactly. See, that's what I'm trying to tell you. It is so vague. It is so out there that when people do horrendous or heinous acts, or they do this, we're going to protect you guys because we're going to call it mental illness. What? And the person who shot, who put that bullet in that church, the scary part, they're not going to tell you she wasn't mentally ill. They have to tell you that so you're safe. It's safe to go to church because she was mentally ill. But if they tell you the truth, the bitch was angry. And this could happen to any of us. This could happen to any of us at any time. Any of us at any time could do a heinous crime, and we don't want to hear that. It scares us. It scares us that our wife or our girlfriend or our husband or our boyfriend can piss us off so much that we want to punch them in the face, that we want to kick them in the balls, that we want to maim them, we want to hurt them. And we have that thing and that anger that we want to hurt you. And those are normal feelings. Those are
it
normal.
It reminds me of something.
What does it do?
Well, when I was 21, I think, 22, I don't know, I was married. I was a very angry married person. I was so angry, I put myself in the psych ward so I wouldn't kill him.
See, you're a responsible MI.
I told them, I says, if you let me out of this hospital, you're responsible for his death.
Wow.
I meant it. I wasn't joking either.
I have dated women like that, and you know what? You're responsible, and you're aware of your feelings, and you know that you're going to kill the motherfucker any day now. You've been there. And I see the hand up, and for those of, and you've been listening to me, and they go, okay, Brian, we hear the symptoms and we hear the causes. What's the treatment? Now, here's the thing. They're going to treat you for your mental illness. This is what they're going to do. Treatment. Treatments include combinations, not just one, combinations of medication, psychotherapy medication, peer support, and sometimes hospitalization in severe cases. These are treatments. These are not treatments. These are to take your ass, your crazy ass, out of society. When we say combination of medication, let's just be honest. What they're going to do is sedate your motherfucking ass so you don't feel like doing shit. What's wrong with Bruce? He took his medication. What is it? Well, his medication makes him sleepy, and he's been sleeping all day. The medication is to take your ass out of society that you don't want to do shit. Psychotherapy, That's questionable because I don't believe in that. Peer support? Sure. Brian, you're crazy. I know. I'm crazy too. I know. That's why we have peer support. Let's all support each other because we're crazy. That's the treatment? And here's another treatment. Hospitalization in severe cases. Again, it goes back. Let's take you out of society. We cannot treat your mental illness. And that's it, folks. That's the truth.
They don't keep people very long, Brian.
That's true. The pharmaceutical companies. That's exactly. We call it
72 hours if you're being dangerous.
True. What do they call it? 50-51 or something? But the thing about it is.
I know. It's different here.
Yeah, but the thing about it is that mental illness, can it be treated? Anything can be treated. That's what I learned. It's really funny. When people are thinking, can something be treated, they think it's a cure. Well, if I could treat it, it's going to be a cure. That's not necessarily true. I found out about cancer, and it's really funny because you have to listen to what they say. Because I remember a nurse says, well, can this be treated? Yes, we can treat that. Can this be treated? Yes, we can treat that. It's like, can this be, and I go really extreme, can this be treated? Yes, we can treat it. That's what they said. You can treat it, but it doesn't cure it. Anything can be treated. They're not in the business of treating MI. I mean, they're in the business of treating MI because your insurance will pay for it. The medication will cost money. The hospitalization will cost money. This will cost money. The psychotherapist will cost money. Therapy will cost money. And that's all about big business, lady. We're not in the business of curing you. No, because there's no cure for MI. There's no cure for it.
Brian.
But you know what?
Brian.
We'll treat you. Yes, my dear. Yes, my dear.
I think you're wrong about something here.
Okay.
Therapists work, like the psychiatrists do help. I know I had a really good one, and he cleared up some major trauma for me. Major.
Oh, cool. Cool.
And he was an old guy, and he knew his stuff.
Right.
Like, the younger ones don't know their stuff as well, but he was in his 70s, so he'd seen it all, right?
He's seen it all. I never been with him, but he probably had the compassion and the empathy, and he probably listened to it. And these young guys go by the books. Well, in the book, page 24, Mr. Brian, it says here that you're possessed by a demon. What? Yep. Well, what I suggest is you go to the Catholic Church and beg for forgiveness. And take a little boy with you, you get a discount. Okay, thank you.
I was really lucky. I mean, I've had a few good shrinks, but I had a lot of trauma as a kid.
I went to a shrink. I'm not kidding you. I went to a shrink at 18 with a sexual disorder, and this is all true. At 17 and 18, I developed a sexual disorder. I was that young. What it was I was in high school, and I dated a virgin. And at that time, we all men have a thing about good girl, bad girl. And this virgin that I dated, I treated her like a glass, you know, something that's so fragile that will break, you know. And she's dating this guy who's on a football team, who's reckless, who's... You know what I mean? Every bad thing that she wants, but he had the respect of the school. You know, she admired that power, you know? And
yeah.
I looked at her as a frail little thing. I did not look at her as a pubescent little girl who wants to spread her wings and experience some good, hard fucking. Okay.
Oh, geez,
true.
Man.
True. And that conflicted everything because I wanted to keep her as pure as I can because I'm thinking if she started loving sex and wanted to do it, it would transform her into that reefer of madness devil woman. So she was my light. She was everything, like not everything because my background was not the best in the world. She was the good thing of life. You know, she was the virgin that you throw in the volcano to soup the natives. So she was it. But when she wanted to cross that line to, I want to be with you, and I want you to spank me, to me was like, oh my God, I was put in another situation like that. I first got my apartment, and I got 22, 23, got an apartment, swimming pool, it's hot as hell, California, I'm in there. So all of a sudden, these girls with their little babies, their little bottoms, and their little titties, and they jump in the pool. They were like maybe 15, 16. They were from Germany. So they're swimming, we're having fun, splashing, having fun, great time. They got cold, they go, and I knew the neighbor, and they knew us, and that was her kids, and they go, can we come to your house? And we wrapped them in a towel and everything, and one girl was in a sleeping bag with me because she was shivering and everything. I was not thinking sex. I knew she was 16. The other girl went with my other friend, and she was like 15 and 16. We were like 21, 22. And really pretty girls, and they were in their bed. She's wrapping me closely, and I'm going, okay, this is getting a little bit uncomfortable. We're in the sleep, we're getting warm. And she goes to me, I want to make love with you. I want you to be my first. She was beautiful. Beautiful German, you know, German girls. German girls are like dogs, you know. A seven-year-old dog is really like really – you go, you time seven, it's like 49 years old. So a German 16-year-old is like you time her by two. She's really probably 36. They mature better. I'm only kidding. Stop it. I'm only kidding at that point. But we were in a sleeping bag.
You know, yes. I'm German, don't you?
I did not know that, Missy. I did not know that. Oh, Fräulein. So my little Fräulein. So she looked at me with her innocent little eyes and her little tight boobies and her little tight butt, and she goes, I want you to be the first. And I go, no, I cannot do that to you. She goes, please, Brian. And I go, no, Brian, look, I'm taking on my top. Please don't do that. Ah! And I ran away out of sleeping bag. I go, no, put on your top. Go home. She was so disappointed. She was so angry, and she bent her head. She went home, and I rejected her. But she was 15. And her body was 30, saying, you want a drink, big boy? No. So I think I did the right thing.
You did.
There was another thing. It was another thing was this woman. I worked at the boys club, and this woman was the nurse at the boys club, and I saw her boyfriend hitting her in the face. I mean, he actually punched her in the face. This was a nurse, and she was like 28 years old. I'm going, that's not right. So I got her boyfriend around the collar, and I punched him in the face, and I said, you don't touch her. I didn't know the woman. I didn't know her. I just worked at the boys club as a nurse. So one time I saw him at McDonald's. He did the same thing. I pulled the guy out of the car and I punched him in the face. And again, I punched him in the face. I was a face puncher. And I said to her, why are you still with this guy? I didn't know this woman. True story. 3 months later, she knocks on my door because she knew where I live. She got my thing from the director and everything. She was the nurse at the boy club. She goes, hi, Brian. I go, hi. I go, what are you doing at my door? And I was with this other girl. She goes, Brian, I want to thank you. I divorced my husband. I got counseling, blah, blah, blah. I just want to thank you so much for protecting me. I said, oh, you're welcome. Anytime. She says, I got three tickets. I swear to God, swear hand the Lord. She goes, with the money, there's some money she got. She goes, I want to treat you. I want to go on a boat with you. I go, boat? Yeah, I want to go on a boat with you. I'm thinking of a Titanic. I go, hell no. It's in the summertime. There's no iceberg. Okay, different. So I'm going to go on a boat with you, and we're going to go around the world. Swear to God. Swear to God. I'm not joking. We're going to go around the world. I go, I can't afford that. She goes, I'm giving it as free. And then she sheepishly looked at me. Pretty lady. She looked at me. She goes, you saved me from my kid and everything. I go, hey, you know, any superhero would have done the same. She goes, ha-ha, you're so funny. Anyway, she looked at me. She says, you don't have to be with me when we're on a boat. I go, what? She goes, you could be with any girl you want to. I just want to be with you. Do you mind? I turned her down because I was loyal to my other girl who was the virgin, right? But now she wasn't virgin because she's with me. But she's running amok, and she's driving me crazy. I turned around. I turned a trip around the world with this woman, who was a pretty woman, all expense paid, and I could be with any woman I want on the ship. Are you freaking kidding me? And because I want to be loyal to this 17 or this 18-year-old girl now, oh, the choices that we made and the regrets that we do. That was mental illness. Remember, I was only 23. Mental illness. How often is that going to come with you?
No, that's not mental illness. That's stupidity, Brian.
It is. One shot, man. You got one shot, like Eminem. You got one shot, and I turned that down. Some people say, dude, you're crazy. So why am I saying that? The reason I'm saying is that we put things in category and we put things to save society to make sure society is okay. When somebody did something, it's mental illness. Don't worry about it. You're not mentally ill. You're safe. Nothing's going to happen to your family. But the truth is, it can. Pat just admitted something that is true. She says that she put herself into a situation where she's not going to kill that guy because she knew that she would cause some harm to this person. That she was aware enough to take herself out of the situation to extreme circumstances, so she knew that she was going to hurt somebody. Now, I'm talking to the same Pat. If she would have hurt this guy, you would have said, oh, she's mentally ill. She has some problems. No. She just didn't like the motherfucker. She doesn't have to be mentally ill not to like this asshole. But we will say that. Well, she killed him in a volcano, and she blew him up. He was the sacrifice. Oh, okay. Exactly. And her last words were, die, motherfucker. Exactly.
I ran into his girlfriend years later.
Wow. If I was in a jury, you're not guilty as far as I'm concerned. Okay, we're going to get to our story, Donald Trump and Putin, the love story. But I'm just saying, before we get into that, when people classify mental MI, you got to be very careful because we throw that word around a lot. And if you Google what MI and the symptoms of what a mentally ill person has, you will have those symptoms because they're that broad, that basic. And that's for you to take the test and for you to lose. So the pharmaceutical company could take your money. I have a hand that's been up here for a while. And before I get to the show, I have to open up the hand and to see who's on the show. Let's take a guess before I open it up. I have 3 111s. Pat, who do you think this
Mr.
is 111?
The title would have got it.
Let's see who's the mystery guest. I think you're right. I think you're right. 111, you're live on the air with Brian and Pat. Hello. I know it's Mr. Solution because he takes a while for the dramatic to build up. Hello. Watch. You see? Normal people would have said hello. You're waiting for that build-up. Your hand is up. Come on, I'm going to you. I'm on the clock here. Hello, 111.
Maybe he's on the phone.
You think so? Okay, I'm going to put him back in mute until he comes back. In fact, I'm gonna leave him open. I'm not even going to mute him. I'm going to leave his thing open. He can mute me on his phone if he's doing business. But I'm going to leave his mic open. But I think it's Mr. Solution because he wants to have that dramatic entrance. He wants to twirl
besides,
when he comes in.
You said the
Sarge would have came out and blasted me in a minute. You no good son of a beep, 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 beep. Hello, Sarge. Good morning. he would have blasted me. We did that conversation will make you think, and it's true. And so if I want to say if Donald Trump mentally ill, let's see, some of the symptoms really quickly. Confusion. He did confuse Pelosi with Haley.
He confused
depression.
A lot of people.
He sure did. Depression. Yeah, he's going to court. The guy's he's pissed off and he is depressed. Social withdrawal? He's not social withdrawal. So we'll take that out. He loves social withdrawal. Extreme feelings of pleasure? Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
anger?
That would be him.
Yep.
Yep.
Anger? Yep. Excitement? Yep. Fear or grief? Exactly. So if you classify Trump's personality, it would come under a classic MI. He's mentally ill. That's what it would come on. That's what it is. So we got to be careful when we say a person is mentally ill because we use, you know, it's the word love. We have destroyed the word love. We have made that word a regular word. Remember, that word was supposed to be really strong and you hold that back, and that was that magical word that doesn't come out often. Even that kind of shit make guys run. It's like you date a girl for 3 days or a week and all of a sudden she goes, I love you, Brian. That shit makes you get in your car and drive as fast as you can off a cliff. That's how powerful that word is. That's how powerful that word is. And that could be reversed with women. You know, babe, I hate to say this. We've been going out for like 3 hours. I never met anybody like you. I love you, babe. You would hear her run as far away as possible. She'll be on the phone. Please help me. I got a crazy person here. 3 hours, we're together. He said he loves me. Girlfriend, I'm coming right over. Girl, I'm coming right over. Don't make any sudden moves. We're coming over. We're coming over and get you. Guy crazy. That word used to be so powerful. But now we just like the Brits. I think the Brits did it. They fucked up love because they even talk like this. Good day, love. What? Hey, what's up, love? They mess up that word. That's like the Canadians going, hey. What's up, hey? How you doing, love? We just messed up that word. It's too basic nowadays. Donald Trump and Putin. I have that. Don't worry. I do have Mr. 111 line open. It may not be Mr. Solution. I'm assuming it is because Mr. Solution would have talked by now. So it may be, and it's not Sarge because Sarge would have blasted me by now. So it may be a new caller. I do have new callers. So new caller 111, anytime that you want to talk, the mic's open. You can interrupt me anytime because I'll talk fast. So we know the forms of what mental illness is. Today we're talking about Donald Trump and Putin, the love story. The love story. You know, I can see Donald Trump and Putin on a boat. The love boat, exciting and new. The dictator and the communist leader too. The love boat. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. I want to give a shout out. I am losing it. I'm mentally ill. I'm MI, baby. I want to give a shout out to Laverne Bernie. Shout out to her. Loving kisses. I'm going to give a shout out to Melissa and to Oliver, who is listening too. All right, here we go. When we come back, Donald Trump and Putin, the love story. But we do have a thing going on, and you're going to hear from Michelle Obama and stuff like that. No, she's not on this show, but she's on tape, other shows. But we do have a favorite thing before we do this. It becomes somewhat of a somewhat of a thing, and that's Pat. We'll name a song.
Oh God, not a song again. What?
That she will know, I think. All right? She will know this artist. She will know this artist, and she should know the lyrics. And when she does it, she has to know the artist and the song. And here's how it works. I'll pick any random song, and Pat should know this one. She should know it. It's in her era. She's to know the guy. I'll say it's a guy. It's a guy. And he has a sultry voice. That's the only hint that I'm going to give her. So I'm going to read one of his songs. That's what I'm going to do. The lyrics of his songs. Pat has to guess what song it is. And that's it. Simple as that. And don't forget, if you're the lucky person who was number 4 yesterday and you won your $10,000, congratulations. People win that one.
Hey, where's my $10,000?
They split it with you. You get the 10% lady. And if they haven't split it with you, I'm sorry. That's the way the money bounces. I'm going to say this. If you're the 30th caller, right now you can
30th.
Win. You can win. Yes. we're on a big budget. We're on a very low budget. We don't give our money out. The 30th caller.
What you get one?
Exactly. How many calls were that already, Brian? I don't know. I think it's 24. I'll call back later. If you're the 30th caller, you can win $5,000. We're giving away money like crazy. I'm crazy giving it away. 30th caller. All right, before we get to our main show, before we go on a break, Pat, you play this song. Pat, what
okay.
the hell is this song? Get ready. I gave you hints. Sultry.
Okay.
Blonde hair.
I didn't listen to a lot of that.
You know this song, though. You know this song. 80s. 80s.
Okay.
Okay. That's your hint. And that's going to be your song. Here you go. It's time. We haven't played this. We haven't done this in a while. It's time to play the game.
The other day.
Yeah. I know. I'm kind of kidding everybody. Well, you know, I'm trying to build up the excitement. Man, we did it yesterday. Pat. Okay, here we go. Time to play the game show theme. Here we go. Remember, I am no longer Brian. I am Winky Dink. That's right, I'm Winky Dink. You are listening to the best game show on Blog Talk history. That's right, my friends. Today we're saying Pat is going to name the song. That's right. Pat Overline, the famous psychic that everybody knows. You know, the psychic who predicted the earthquake in California. It just happened 2 days ago. Who knew? Pat knows. She's our only clairvoyant and our clairvoyant at the same time. If you don't know, if you want to know something, ask Pat. And don't forget, the show is sponsored by Pat's Bakery. Yes, you're right. Pat Overland, the baker. Home of patty cakes. Try the mushroom gummies. It's beautiful. I'm still tripping on it, and I did that a year ago. Where am I? Who knows? I'm on the radio. Wow, how did that happen? Pat, mushroom gummies. As they say, it's yummy. Pat's gummy. All right, now let's make sure. Okay. Well, I'm too tired now. Pat, it's time for you to name the song. Here we go.
Okay.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. And, you know, we're going to trip you up a little bit because we're going to give you a scenario. We did it yesterday, and you guessed it. So I'm going to bring a scenario around it, and the song is inside it, okay? So you did it. So I'm going, ooh, ooh, and what it is it's this guy, right? This guy who's a fly guy, right? You know the guy, Pat, with the tight pants, the tight leather pants and the shirt,
they
the
all
leather
had
shirt.
That.
Yeah,
they
but the guy
doing...
with his, yeah, he unbuttons it all the way down to his belly button, and he has the chain, and he does that, and he has his mullet running, you know, going good. It's like, hello. And he's looking at and he's looking at this girl, and he's going to ask her the question. He's going to pop the question, and this is what the question is. And you got to listen to the question because the question is the song, and you guess what the song is, and here's the question he asked her. She sits alone waiting for suggestions. He's so nervous, avoiding all the questions. His lips are dry. Her heart is gently pounding. Don't you just know exactly what they're thinking? He's getting nervous, and he leans closer to her, and he says, enough drinks. He says, if you want my body and you think I'm sexy, come on, sugar, let me know.
If you
really
want
need
my body,
me.
That's the Stones.
Nope. If you
Wait
really
a minute.
Need me. Yeah, it's not
if
the Stones.
If you want my body, you think I'm sexy.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Tell me something or other, something or other you want to know.
No, that's not the rest of the lyrics. not the rest of the lyrics. Here we go again. You're almost there. You're almost there, but that's not the rest of the lyrics. If you really need
me. That was what's his name? Rod Stewart.
Right. What's the name of the song? If you really need me, just reach out and tell me. Come on, sugar. Come on. Come on, honey.
I don't know the title of this one.
You do know the title. Now, hold on a minute before we go much further. Give me a dime so I can phone my mother. They kept a cab to his high-rise apartment. At least he can tell her exactly what his heart meant. If you want my body and you think I'm sexy, come on, honey, and tell me so.
Yeah, that's...
What's the name of the song? You know the name. If you really need me, just reach out and touch me. Come on, sugar, let me know. You got the artist. You got the artist.
I know. Something sugar.
What's the name of the song? Ladies and gentlemen, what's the song?
I've lost it, Brian.
Stay with me. If you really need me, just reach out and touch me. Come on, sugar, let me know. It's in the song.
Rod Stewart, I'll try again.
Yes, Rod Stewart. What's the name of the song?
He says Dom can't get it either.
Oh, he can't? Oh, come on. You guys got it. She sits alone waiting for a suggestion. He is so nervous about any other question.
If you think I'm
sexy. If you want my body and you think I'm sexy, come on, sugar, let me know. What's the name of the song?
Oh, God, I really don't know.
All right, here's the song, and we'll be right back. You had it. You guys had it. Here's the name of the song, and we'll be right back with our title of our show, Donald Trump and Putin, the Love Story. Pat had half of it, and here's the name of the song, Do You Think I'm Sexy?
I did say that.
That's the name of the song, Do You Think I'm Sexy?
Thank you.
There you go. There you go. Very good. There you go. Very good. Very good. I want to thank Pat, Patricia Oberlein. I want to thank her for opening the show for me. She did a really good job and really good show. Thank you, Pat. I really appreciate it. You covered for me. You deserve a round of applause for that. And I still got 111s. Two 111s in Mike Rod Stewart, so they left. But one's still here. We get on with the show. This is how it works. I need my coffee, folks. Sorry. If you can't keep, maybe you're not a Rod Stewart fan, but that's just how it goes. That's how it goes. All right, here we go. 111, your mic is still open if you want to say something before we get into our subject, because we're going to go into it right now. Okay. Here you go, Pat, for opening the show for me. Ladies and gentlemen, Pat Oberlein. There you go. They love you, Pat.
Can you cover for me? I'm having a shower.
I'll cover for you.
Quickly.
You're going to be in the shower?
Okay. Just for a minute.
Just for a minute. Now, everybody get the visual. Pat in the shower.
Yeah, naked.
Naked. Water all over, and she's sudsing. There you go. Sudsy, sudsy, sudsy. Mr. Bubble was
okay,
rolling.
Brian. You're going on mute for a few minutes.
Okay. Shower away, kiddo. And most people do take showers during my show because they feel so dirty listening to me. There you go. There you go. There you go. Title of the show, here we go. Let's get to it. Donald Trump and Putin, a love story. You already heard the thing. You heard Donald Trump making a speech. You'll hear it again. He'll say it in person. Basically, he's saying that our allies promised a 2% defense tax that they pay the United States to, I don't want to use the word protect them, but that's what it is. And Donald Trump's upset that they're not keeping up their end. So basically, he says, you know, screw you, allies. If you don't pay up, we're not going to come and help you. That's just putting it that way, and we'll get more into it. We'll get more into it. I'm going to tell you something. If we ever have – see, you know, don't get too comfortable. I think that's what's wrong with the world. We get too comfortable. We get too full of ourselves. Because if we were ever attacked, and it doesn't mean that we never will, we will be. I guarantee you we will be. The closest thing we had was Pearl Harbor lately. But we will be attacked. And we're going to need our allies. We're going to need Great Britain. We're going to need our allies. We're going to need all these people. So, Trump, don't get so full of yourself right now thinking that this is how it's going to be, because things change. And here we go right here. So, John Stewart, we're going to start off first. John Stewart got into this. And I go with John Stewart because they'll talk about the political climate that I can't talk about. And then Michelle Obama got involved in this. And I don't know if she should, but here's John Stewart on The Daily Show. And he's talking about Biden and his memory. He'll talk about Trump. Basically, he's saying, what the fuck is happening to this world? Here's a little bit of John Stewart. And meanwhile, remember, Pat's in a shower, naked. But here's John Stewart right now. And he's going to talk about the political climate that I can't talk about, that he'll get you updated. That was into it all, but he has a point here. Thank you.
Welcome. Welcome to The Daily Show. My name is John Stewart. Now, where was I? I'm excited to be back. I'm very excited. Good to see you guys. Why am I back? You may be asking yourselves. It's a very reasonable question. I have committed a lot of crimes. From what I understand, talk show hosts are granted immunity, so it doesn't make a lot of sense, but take it up with the founders. I don't know. We're going to have so much we're going to talk about this year. Obviously, the elections. Maybe we'll talk about China. Maybe we'll talk about AI. Maybe something a little lighter, Israel-Palestine. Who knows? But first, the Super Bowl was yesterday. There's a gentleman in the crowd who's delighted that Kansas City won. It was really, sadly, a lose-lose for real America. Kansas City Chiefs are world champions, which means the decades-long plot in which Travis and Taylor brainwash America into getting routine vaccinations is complete. But it was really kind of a no-win for conservatives. I mean, if the Chiefs lost, who wins? The People's Communist Republic of Gay Pelosi Stan. It's almost like the right's ridiculous obsession with politicizing every aspect of American life ruins everything. But now that it's over, 9 months till the election, people! And the exciting part is we already know our candidates. It's, drum roll please, these f***ing guys. That's why tonight we're debuting our election coverage, Indecision 2024, American Democracy. See, it's a homophone. We didn't change the sound of the word, but we added a K, which makes it wittier. How about Indecision 2024? Elect Donald Trump. We changed the one letter. Are you disappointed yet? So Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And by the way, this weekend, the big news was the special counsel report on Joe Biden's handling of classified information.
The special counsel's report offers scathing details of what it calls his diminished faculties and faulty memory. Writing, if charged, Mr. Biden will likely present himself to the jury, as he did during his interview with our office, as a sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory.
Where did I park those documents? This guy couldn't remember stuff during his deposition. Do you understand what that means? He had no ability to recall very basic things under questioning. The footage of the president unable to recall simple facts must have been brutal to watch.
James Webb. I don't remember the name. I don't remember ever buying something for myself.
Do you recall what years you were married to Ms. Naples?
I don't remember that. Okay. As good as my memory is, I don't remember that. But I have a good memory.
So you don't remember saying you have one of the best memories?
I don't remember.
That was the wrong footage. That's the high-functioning candidate from 9 years ago, unable to recall if he has a good memory. I'm sorry, here's the actual footage.
Who created Trump International Realty?
I don't remember.
I don't remember the email.
I'm just saying I don't remember this. I just don't seem to recall anything about this.
He actually seemed upset about it. I don't know. Yes, it turns out that the leading cause of early onset dementia is being deposed. But back to President Biden. Biden was not about to take the special counsel's characterizations lying down, although chances are he was lying down. The point is this. To the press conference, Batman!
My memory is fine. My memory, take a look at what I've done since I've become president. None of you thought I could pass any of the things I got passed. How'd that happen? And I know what the hell I'm doing. I'm president. I put this country back on its feet.
No, he did not say that.
Okay.
But,
Mr. President, let me answer your question.
Many American people have been watching, and they have expressed concerns about your age.
That is your judgment.
Boom! He took them to the House! He was all over it! Joe Biden taking nerves, kicking ass, press conference over! You didn't mess up. You did. No, don't stop. Wait. Hold on, sir. Don't. No, you killed this. Take the W. What are you doing? Do not go.
Allow me to present to you a one-man show about what Joe Biden's advisors were doing when he turned around and went back to the podium. The show is called No! Do not go back! Please! But he went back!
There's one simple vision hack anyone can use to improve vision.
There
so you
go.
Can say goodbye.
I think his longevity is funny.
As you know, that the conduct of the response in the Gaza Strip has been over the top.
Garbanzo garment.
By the way, the response in Gaza has been over the top. You know, I like how Biden describes Israel's incessant bombing of civilians the same way my mother talks about the Super Bowl halftime show. It was a little much. Did they need to be on roller skates? Whatever happened to music? You sing the song and people will love it, but with the abs and the twirling. And the hits kept coming.
Initially, the president of Mexico, Sisi, did not want to open up the gate to allow humanitarian material to get in.
Now, geography buffs might have noticed. Gaza and Mexico do not share a border. But Biden was referring to Sisi, the president of Egypt, not Mexico. Unless it was even worse than that, and he thinks the president of Mexico is named Sisi. So Joe Biden had a big press conference to dispel the notion that he may have lost a step, and politically speaking, lost 3 to 4 steps. But don't worry, because they don't need the press conference. The Super Bowl was on Sunday, and the president was offered a chance, as per tradition, to do an interview where millions and millions of people could see him competently and clearly lay out his 2024 agenda. Or he could just turn that down and do what this is.
The Biden-Harris campaign joined TikTok over the weekend. The first video was released during the Super Bowl, and it shows President Biden answering questions related to the big game.
Game or halftime show?
Game.
Jason Kelce or Travis Kelce?
Mama Kelce. I understand she makes great chocolate chip cookies.
Fire everyone. Everyone. How do you go on TikTok and end up looking older? Everyone spent the entire weekend talking about whether the Democratic choice for president is mentally up to the challenge of the world's most demanding job. So what was his opponent saying this weekend?
We have to win in November, or we're not going to have Pennsylvania. They'll change the name. They're going to change the name of Pennsylvania.
I can't believe I've lived in New Jersey this long and have been mispronouncing Pennsylvania. Apparently the emphasis is at the end of the line. Yes, it should be noted, while concerns over any president's fitness and acuity are legitimate, especially those at an advanced age, Biden's opponent also seems to live at the Villages. So, the question then becomes, what the f*** are we doing here, people? Ooh, wait. No? That's a nice Indecision 2024 title.
Yeah!
Let me tell you something. Biden's lost a step, but Trump regularly says things at rallies that would warrant a wellness check.
All I know about magnets is this. Give me a glass of water. Let me drop it on the magnets. That's the end of the magnets.
I am not a scientist. I'm pretty sure water is not the end of magnets. I think you may be thinking of cotton candy. Pretty easy to mix those up. It's probably why the front of his refrigerator is so messy. It's just it's sticky. Look, these two candidates, they're very kind with your enthusiasm. These two candidates, they are both similarly challenged. And it is not crazy to think that the oldest people in the history of the country to ever run for president might have some of these challenges. Now, Democrats will say that any criticism like this, especially of Biden, is unfair because you just don't know Biden like they know Biden.
President Biden, who I've been around numerous times just in this last year, is sharp, he's focused, he's bright.
He is sharp, intensely probing, and detail-oriented and focused.
This is a man who is sharp, who is on top of his game, who knows what's going on.
He's smart. He's on his game.
I was in almost every meeting with the president, and the president was in front of and on top of it all, coordinating and directing leaders who are in charge of America's national security, not to mention our allies around the globe.
Did anyone film that? Because if you're telling us behind the scenes he is sharp and full of energy and on top of it and really in control and leading, you should film that. That would be good to show to people instead of a TikTok where he goes, we see he's in charge. You see, I like cookies. Of course, when it comes to Republicans, they've got a different strategy for their 77-year-old candidate.
Well, first of all, Donald Trump is not an old man.
He's an old man. He is objectively an old man on a human scale. Trump is objectively old. If he was a tortoise, I would tell him as a tortoise at 77, oh, young man, go off and enjoy college. But he's not a tortoise. He's not a tortoise. That is not being ageist. That is being human lifespanist.
I have come home and I have stood at the...
Just a couple more minutes. But he puts it so eloquently what's really going on.
What we know for certain is this. We have two candidates who are chronologically outside the norm of anyone who has run for the presidency in this country, in the history of this country. They are the oldest people ever to run for president, breaking by only 4 years the record that they set the last time they ran. They are at the age. They are objectively old. They're at the age. There are no more age-related milestones to hit. They got the RRP card. They've got Social Security. They've got their movie discounts. There is no, oh, wait till you hit 88. You get to drink and drive. No! The only thing left to them is a Today Show Smuckers shout-out. You know what? I think we've got a new name for our election coverage. Indecision 2024 Antiques Roadshow. All right. Look. Here's what I'm going to say. We're not suggesting neither man is vibrant, productive, or even capable. But they're both stretching the limits of being able to handle the toughest job in the world. What's crazy is thinking that we're the ones, as voters, who must silence concerns and criticisms. It is the candidate's job to assuage concerns, not the voter's job not to mention them. And look, I'm not trying to be cruel. I didn't want to have to do this on my first day. Come over here. Look at me. Look what time hath wrought. Give the kids a treat of the lunar surface here. Look at this. I'm like 20 years younger than these. This. Look at this. They wish. And if you think like, oh, 20 years isn't that long, this is me 20 years ago. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And perhaps it was my mistake for sleeping in a meat dehydrator. Look, Joe Biden isn't Donald Trump. He hasn't been indicted as many times, hasn't had as many fraudulent businesses, or been convicted in a civil trial for sexual assault, or been ordered to pay defamation, and had his charities disbanded, or stiffed a shit ton of blue-collar tradesmen he'd hired. Should we even get to the grab-the-pussy stuff? Probably not. But the stakes of this election don't make Donald Trump's opponent less subject to scrutiny. It actually makes him more subject to scrutiny. If the barbarians are at the gate, you want Conan standing on the ramparts, not chocolate chip cookies. So what's the good news? That was not rhetorical framing. I'm literally asking you. Look, the next 9 months or so, and maybe more than that depending on the coup schedule, they're going to suck. You're going to be getting emails with insane subject lines like, "Hello, John, it's Chuck Schumer." "Donald Trump is right behind you with a knife." "Donate." You're going to get inundated with robocalls and push polls and real polls, and people are going to tell you to rock the vote and be the vote and vote the vote and finger bang the vote. And it's all going to make you feel like Tuesday, November 5th is the only day that matters. And that day does matter. But man, November 6th ain't nothing to sneeze at, or November 7th. If your guy loses, bad things might happen. But the country is not over. And if your guy wins, the country is in no way saved. I've learned one thing over these last 9 years, and I was glib at best and probably dismissive at worst about this. The work of making this world resemble one that you would prefer to live in is a lunch pail job, day in and day out, where thousands of committed, anonymous, smart, and dedicated people bang on closed doors and pick up those that are fallen and grind away on issues till they get a positive result, and even then have to stay on to make sure that result holds. So the good news is, I'm not saying you don't have to worry about who wins the election. I'm saying you have to worry about every day before it and every day after. Forever. On the plus side, I am told that at some point, the sun will run out of hydrogen.
You can put it better than I could. That's why I played him. Let's see if Pat's back from her shower of wetness. Pat?
I'm almost dry.
That's our report. That's our reporter from the shower. Almost. If you want to talk to me again, raise your hand. While Pat dries off her naked, wet body, we'll take more questions. 111, you're live on the air. We'll try it again. 111? Nope. All right. If you want to talk to me, all you have to do is hit the 1 on your dial, and maybe you could talk to Wet Pat. There we go. Pat's shower time. I want you to think of a blonde lady and the shower is running through her hair. Pat is washing her naked body in slow motion.
Hey,
smiling.
Hey, man. You ain't going to get away that easy. I had to run back to the phone. Man, look here now.
There you go.
I kind of got the flavor of the show when you started playing that comedian there, and he was pretty good, by the way. I appreciate the guy there. But I'm looking at the premise of your show here. You just can't break up this love affair. Treason makes strange bedfellows. And if you're just trying to do what I expect you're trying to do, I'm about to set your ass straight.
It's true. It's true.
Watch it now. Watch it now. Remember now, you're talking to somebody who knows a thing or two.
Okay.
Better watch it. Better watch it. Use a word like treason.
I'm on the rope with the big pole going back
and
forth
and
against
the
skyline.
I suppose you're referring to the fact that Donald Trump said he'd be working to pull the United States out of NATO, maybe, and you're alluding to that fact. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, he said it. He said that he alluded to the fact
that
our allies agreed to a 2% defense.
I know what he said.
And he says, don't come to me if you didn't pay up, because not only will we will not step in to defend you from Putin, we will encourage him.
I know what he said. You can't spin me.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, my friend, no matter what Trump says, as a matter of fact, it is a treaty, and I'm going to expound on that in a bit if you'll allow me to. It is a treaty. First of all, the outfit is called the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Mm-hmm. Now, in
NATO.
Case you don't know it, a treaty is a formal negotiated diplomatic agreement between sovereign entities, right? It's a treaty. The Senate of the United States ratified that treaty in 1949. The only way it can be abrogated, and that's another word for you to look up, the only way it can be abrogated is by a two-thirds vote of Congress, no matter what Trump says. Okay? Okay?
No matter what
this
Trump
is a
says,
fact in here, brother.
You keep
that's
saying
you
no matter what.
Give you facts.
But you just said no matter what Trump says. So it sounds like you disagree with what he said.
In other words, the matter is essentially moot. But of course, you want to use it for political leverage and hay and all.
I'm
that
not.
Stuff.
I'm.
Look,
well, I'm here with the facts, and this is what your guy said.
Well, I just gave you some facts, which you apparently don't want to respond.
You gave me facts about the treaty. You gave me definition about the treaty, but we're not talking about that because you alluded to a fact no matter what Trump said.
The United States ratified. I mean, you can't set aside a treaty on your own doing.
Right,
now,
so you say he misspoke.
Now, here's what he might do. He might importune the Senate to abrogate the treaty. He could do that, sure. But that would have to be done after a whole lot of debate and public commentary about it in the Senate. And guess what? The American people get a chance to weigh in. A lot of the American people are pissed that we have an obligation by treaty to defend any country that's a NATO member that is attacked by another country with an armed attack, yet they're not fulfilling their part of the treaty by paying 2.5% of the GDP to support the expenses of NATO. Now, it's amazing to me how you think only one part of the treaty is sacrosanct, that is the obligation to defend another member when they're attacked, but the obligation to pay that 2.5 GDP, never mind, that ain't important.
No,
I think
didn't say GDP.
I think Donald Trump did a very great service when he got many of them dumbass NATO people to pony up. Let me tell you what
dumbass
time it
NATO
is,
people.
Brother.
Come
brother,
on, these are our allies.
Brother,
these are our allies.
Think about it for a minute now. NATO was essentially welfare for the European nations. They didn't get give the gratitude to the UN for that. The military welfare our nation provided them, bastards, enabled them to develop their unsupportable welfare states. They've always had contempt for us. They call us cowboys, despite the fact we literally saved their asses in two world wars. And not only did we save Europeans from the Nazis in World War II, we saved them from the Soviets. Because you better believe the Soviets would have gone all the way to the English Channel if the United States hadn't been invading Europe from the West. They'd have been the Soviet Union would have set up shop all the way to Dunkirk.
Okay. They go with the Janet Jackson philosophy. But they go with the Janet Jackson philosophy. What have you done for me lately?
See, this is what I mean.
So what I'm
saying, I was in a tank. I was in a tank on the Czech border waiting for the first Ukrainian Guards tank army to come in and annihilate me. That's what we did for the ambassadors. We had thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of our troops over the years sitting on the border awaiting a Warsaw Pact invasion, of which I was one of them in the 3rd Armored Division. And we were told what was going to happen to us when and if that happened. We were going to be annihilated because the reinforcements probably wouldn't have got there in time.
I understand. Did I mention Pat's naked?
That's good, Pat. I'm glad to hear you naked. Bring a little less naked up so I can check it out.
I understand.
But look, you're comfortable, right? I mean, you're in the privacy of your own home. You're enjoying your nakedness in private and comfort, are you not?
That's what Canadians do. They get naked in the top of the afternoon for no reason at all. Well, I think I'm going to get naked.
Yeah, they get naked. Hey, man, look here. I got to go pick up this car that's coming to me. My granddaughter's car. I got to fix it because she had it in the shop for 4 weeks.
And
they ain't fixed it yet, so I got to go get it. I'll be right back.
All right, buddy. Be safe. And that's Sarge, everybody. Okay, this is Sarge, everybody. I love Sarge. And the show still should be on by the time he gets back. Be safe, buddy. And Pat, are you clothed now? Do you have the garments? Are you dressed for the show now? Thank you very much. Wouldn't it have been great to get a naked tarot card reading? Well, dear, it's a little cold today.
Dream on, Brian. Dream on.
Yeah, I am, and it's really the show just went up. It's like, woo! What are the ratings? Let's see. And Sarge is right, but Sarge alluded to, it's like no matter what he said, this is it, and we're talking Trump. Trump just says shit. Now, we haven't heard this woman in a while. It's only a couple of minutes. Her name is Michelle Obama. And she kind of goes after Trump. I got to find out, before I play this, when did this happen? Because I don't want this old stuff. Okay. Well, I can't do it because it has a stupid join button and it's covering up half this stuff. Okay. Well, here we go. Let's see what happened. Let's see when this was. Here we go. Michelle Obama.
The president has to have immunity. And the other thing is, I did nothing wrong. We did nothing wrong.
I mean, the bars are different for people in life. That I've learned. This is the thing about being an other.
Mm-hmm.
You learn how to be excellent all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think Michelle Obama is a beautiful woman, but that she should not pull her hair back, because that forehead goes forever. It goes alien-like. It goes UFO territory. When she pulls her hair back and that forehead, man, that's just like, take me to your leader. I mean, I love her, but she should not pull that hair back. Woo! Oh, baby. Let's listen to Mrs. Bam Bam, Michelle Obama.
Because you can't be less than.
Mm-hmm.
Other people can. Other people can be indicted a bunch of times and still run for office.
Oh, that's gotta hurt!
Not a single lie told. If you've taken a peek at the Hill site formerly known as Twitter recently, you'd likely have seen Michelle Obama is trending, with a lot of the MAGA crowd up in arms like she wore a tan pantsuit. But as is usually the case, they're furious that she spoke the truth, citing the clear and blatant double standard in how, even in the highest office of the land, there's a clear juxtaposition here.
In fact, Joe Biden could be prosecuted for trying to stop this man from becoming the next president of the United States.
While appearing on Jay Shetty's podcast, the former First Lady opened up about her fear of the upcoming election and what is at stake, without naming names, referred to a certain childlike figure in chief who still, despite countless indictments, being found liable of sexual assault, is somehow still the frontrunner for the GOP.
You know, are we moving at all fast enough? What are we doing about education? Are people going to vote? And why aren't people voting? Are we too stuck to our phones? I mean, those are the things that keep me up, because you don't have control over them. And you wonder, where are people at? Where?
I look at Michelle Obama. I'm listening to her. She's well-versed. Yale, Princeton, everything. Very educated, learned lady. I'm looking at her. And I still, sometimes I'll pause the YouTube button and her lips will stick out. And I just want to put my dick in it. Is that wrong? I would like to have a blowjob from Michelle Obama. There I said it. And now I regret saying it.
Regret saying what?
That I'm looking at Michelle Obama, and she got beautiful lips, and all I could think about, I know she's educated, she's smart, and all I could think about is I want to put my dick in her mouth.
Oh, you're terrible.
I know. All I could think of is getting Michelle Obama's blowjob would be wonderful. Come see, come saw.
My goodness.
I don't think I'm the only one.
I don't think I'm the only one.
If you look at her YouTube video and you pose her, those lips are right there. It's like, oh, so inviting. So luscious. The top of her lip is kind of moist. All I want to do is put my dick in it. Dick in the mouth. Dick in the mouth. Are you blow-drying your hair right now, Miss Pat?
No, the girl that helps me is vacuuming. She's almost finished. I was going to say
that's one hell. No, don't you hang up. It's fine. I just wanted to say that's one hell of a blowjob that I'm hearing back there in your own house.
No, it's a Dyson vacuum. It'd pick up the cat if I'm not careful.
Oh, yeah. You don't. I know that you love John. I know you love John. John loves you. I know that. John's very secure because John let me talk to you without looking at you sideways going, really? Really, you're talking to him? Really? That foul-mouthed little child that you're talking to, you're really talking to him, that American bastard? But John is not like that. John going, I heard Brian. No competition. Go ahead, talk to this guy. I'm not worried about that guy.
I don't think that's it, honey. I think it's just that, you know, we're old.
Yeah. You go ahead and knock those knees, baby. Yeah. I'll make sure the chiropractor comes home before you do and fix that back right up there. I know. Here's Michelle Obama again, just a little bit, Michelle.
Thank you.
Where are we in this? You know, where are our hearts? What's going to happen in this next election? I am terrified about what could possibly.
All I can think is I really want to spank her. I know she's intelligent. I know she's witty. But the education that she possesses and the power that she has, I just want to do naughty, naughty. That's a big bowl of powerful energy right there. I want Mr. Obama, President Obama, to say, you know, you're the only one that my wife would dare step out on me with, and that's power, because she wouldn't just do it to anybody else, but it was the hammer who took. Huh?
You're having a mental health moment.
I'm not. It could happen. It could happen. I'm having a mental health moment. I'll send her a picture of my penis. She'll love me. Here's Michelle Obama. A mental health moment. Thank you, Pat.
We happen because our leaders matter. Who we select, who speaks for us, who holds that bully pulpit, it affects us in ways that sometimes I think people take for granted. You know, the fact that people think that government, you know.
I know. Sometimes what she talks about goes over my head and I get bored, but the only thing that's keeping me there is that I want to be with Michelle Obama. Here we go. 774, you're live on the air with Pat. I'm just the answering guy. Get mad at Pat. 774.
Hi, yes. My name is Matthew E. O'Neill, O'Neill. I'm the former tar-breaded editor, writer for Everipedia Incorporated. Everipedia is a cryptocurrency and internet encyclopedia set company that has since been rebranded IQWiki. I'm also an Amazon author in 13 countries. I listen
wow,
to part of your program.
That's
like
a lot of titles
point.
There. Yes,
I'd like to make
yes,
a point. I did time
sure.
on active duty in the U.S. Air Force when I was in my
yes,
early
sir.
20s. And
yes,
I got an honorable discharge on active duty. But I failed okay. as an officer's candidate as a teenager. I was an ROTC at UMass Amherst. I had talked to the detachment co-commander about possibly being a National Guard commissioned officer. I didn't have
yes,
an
sir.
Interest in flying planes, so I dropped out of the ROTC program because I wasn't really
okay.
interested in being a pilot. So I did time
okay.
on active duty in the Air Force. I'd like to make one
mm-hmm.
point. You know,
sure.
I mean, veterans parades, a lot of times, you know, they find lower-rated enlisted guys who did a few years
mm-hmm.
on active duty, and they parade them through the, you know, the parade as veterans, you know,
mm-hmm.
or they offer them an indigent veterans check or a homeless shelter. But,
right.
and I don't want to sound insensitive, but how many ex-commissioned officers, you know, that were lowly, you know, were barely lieutenants or captains in the National Guard,
right.
you know, they'll never
mm-hmm.
really offer them an indigent veterans check. They'll never spend time in a homeless shelter as a veteran, you know.
Okay.
And they certainly
fair,
won't be
fair.
paraded around in a parade calling them a veteran. So there's a
mm-hmm.
distinction there between getting that commission in the military and being an
mm-hmm.
officer. You know, and just enlisting for a few years. Now, oftentimes presidents, you know, they go to West Point and they attend the West Point or Air Force Academy graduations. That's a huge deal.
Sure.
You know, what if somebody just got a National Guard or Reserve Commission? You know, it's a 2-week class when you're 20 years old. You do 2 years at a university. You do 14-day class when you're 20, right? And then after the 14-day class is done, you do 1 week in a month for a few years. You could even skip the weekends and skip drills and barely
right,
be a commissioned officer, barely, right? Okay? Now, you get
right,
an honorable discharge.
Right.
Do they call you back and then march you through a parade and call you a veteran? Do they offer you, you know, a spot in a homeless shelter for veterans? No, they don't, right? So America lost to Afghanistan. They lost the longest war in American history back in 2001 when the troops were pulled out. It's not something that's really talked about that much. There's been a few documentaries about it. But it's a huge deal losing to Afghanistan. Afghanistan's a third world country. Okay?
Right.
Now, there's rising tensions all across the world with Russia, with China, and, of course, the situation in Israel. I don't know. Maybe America's top brass should reconsider the ranking system in the military. Those ranking systems go back to the 1700s. Where someone gets a commission and the other person just joins. You know, it's,
sure.
it's something to think about. Because where is the investment for the young guy? He joins the military, he's willing to serve, you know, and tens
right.
of thousands of those guys wind up at homeless shelters, you know, or
right,
paraded
right.
through a little parade and they laugh at
right.
him. But we talked yeah. about getting a commission as a guard or reserve officer. That only takes 14 days when you're 20. You do that 14-day
okay.
class. That's the ROTC commission. It's just something I wanted to bring up.
Okay. And it's fair. And you brought up a lot of points, but I don't want to lose the main point. Is your main point that we just don't give the average private or the lieutenant the dues that he should, and we just give him the big brass the accommodation of accolades? I'm trying to.
Well, I'm trying to say
you brought
is,
up
I
a
mean,
lot
somebody,
of them.
I mean, somebody gets a commission in the military. You know, they were a captain.
Right.
That's an 03 or a lieutenant. That's an 02. Okay.
Right,
they
right.
barely got one. Okay. They would never march that guy through a parade and call him a veteran.
Right.
You know, and kind of give him a home shelter.
Okay.
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 Now,
okay.
Okay. Now you get a lowly enlisted grade. You know that. You know, somebody barely, you know, they're in the armed forces as an E1 through an E4. You know, those are the guys that kind of went up in homeless shelters because they're encouraged
right, right.
to re-enlist, you know.
Right.
But a lot of people don't realize, the average person, that there's easier commissions to get, you know, through the ROTC commissioning programs. I mean, that only takes a couple of weeks to do.
Right. Right. My father worked in a VA hospital. His job was to make sure that veterans got their benefits. That was his job. His main job was to make sure that the veterans got their benefits. That was his job. Now, let me ask you, sir, because I heard a lot of things, and you know a lot, and when people tell me about the insides that maybe we don't know, have you ever been homeless, sir? Have you ever been homeless?
No, I've never been homeless. I've never been in a shelter. That's why I went to college afterwards. I have an MBA, and the MBA was applied to Everopedia Incorporated.
But do you know any homeless vets at all, personally? Have you interacted with homeless vets?
No, I haven't really dealt with that too much. But, you know, I've watched it on TV, and I've seen it a few places.
Okay. I understand. And I understand what you're saying. Can I ask you why you haven't – you're a veteran, and how long
right. –
were you in the Army, sir, or were you – no, you're Air Force. You said Air Force, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. How long have you been out?
24 years.
24 years. So you had time to reflect on it. I know that any of you ask any – and thank you for your service, by the way. And if you ask any veteran about how veterans are treated – there's going to be not one veteran say, oh, we're treated great. They love us. I mean, the benefits are wonderful. You're never going to get that answer, are you, sir, from anybody. You won't get that. And why do we throw away our veterans? Why do we just do this pompous bullshit of it's Veterans Day and people say, hey, you served. I'm going to say, hey, guess what? Thank you for your service. Excuse me, can I get my potatoes now? I mean, it doesn't sound so sincere, does it? And I know some military people say, please don't even say that because you have no idea what I went through. So don't tell me to thank you for my service because you spit on me. You don't give to the Veterans Association.
Hey, Brian, I'm back now.
Yes.
Hello,
Arch. Yes.
How you doing?
So I got problems. I have a few problems with my computer. I have to log off. I'd like to thank you for having me on your show.
Well, I want to thank you for your service. Anytime, you're more than welcome to come on. I'll be on for another 20 minutes. If you're going to come back, please come back in because I want to thank all veterans out there for their services. And thank you, sir, for coming on and letting me know. Be safe out there.
Well, thanks. Thank you.
Okay. God bless you. Take care.
Hey, Brian.
That was a veteran. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I would like to talk to the gentleman, but you know, Brian, you remember that video I sent you with me and my tank in Vietnam?
Right.
Well, you remember that what I think I really like you to remember. You remember that the pile of dead soldiers on top of the back deck of that one of those tanks there? Did you watch the whole video?
I watched it very briefly, but I did. Yes.
At about the
3:15
mark, you see a rifleman looking up at the back deck of the tank, and there's a whole bunch of dead soldiers stacked on top of the back deck of the tank.
Oh,
the dead American soldiers.
Oh,
and those are the ones I want you to remember. I know that a lot of vets are going through some hard times, and this country should never have allowed that to happen to them. But if you got to remember anybody, please remember the guys like that piled up on the deck of that back deck of that tank.
Right.
They're the ones that really remember, really deserve our remembrances more than anyone else.
I agree with you, man. It's like I was telling the gentleman before. I hope he does come back because I wanted to talk to him and have you talk to him. I was trying to hold him for you mostly because veteran to veteran, there's a special bond. It doesn't matter when you served. It doesn't matter who served or how old you are. If you served, you have some common ground there that you know some stuff that I could possibly never know. And I did tell him, my dad, I grew up, my dad came out of the service and he died with the American flag draped on his coffin. There's a big picture of me. if you're on my Facebook, there's a big picture of me, and you see my dad in front of me with the coffin and the flag draped over him, that I'm slumped over, and I'm looking at my dad, and you'll see the guy, the color guard with the bugle, what do you call it, the trumpet, you know, doing taps. He was ahead of my dad's coffin and doing taps as that was happening. And so when I hear veterans and I hear that, and I know what he worked for making sure veterans get their benefits and how hard he worked and the pain that he came home with because of this veteran's not getting the medication or this veteran's not getting the benefits, this veteran's on the street. I know some of it, but I don't know all of it. And I could never pretend to know what Sarge knows, what he felt when he was in that jungle, especially Vietnam. That was
your caller there was a member of the Air Force, and I'm telling you right now, you know, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Air Force. I'm telling you.
Right.
Close air support was something that we always counted on. We could always get it when we needed it. And I know I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Air Force, especially one night. And the Air Force literally kept us alive. So it's a team, and everybody's got their part to play. And, you know, and that's what, you know, no matter what you did, all of it counts toward you doing whatever you're able to do. Everybody who gets you the beans and the bullets, the people in the Navy who keeps the supplies coming across the water, the Air Force who do what they do, and we all understand that. Even if we might gripe about each other's service and they got it easier than us or all that, it's all important. None of us can function independently. And that's something you all always got to remember about with regard to a nation. A nation can't really function independently. In some respects, we have to come together about some things. And I think there's never been a time in the history of the United States where we've been more divided outside of that little fracas in the mid-19th century. I mean, it's like we literally can't even decide on what a woman is, for God's sake, much less how we should govern ourselves.
That is true.
I think we've got to get some things in order. We also have to understand some unpleasant truths. And like what we're talking about today with NATO, you know, this whole thing with NATO.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, this whole thing got started.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when Trump was raising questions about NATO, and he did get many of the NATO nations start ponying up their fair share, because like I said, the Europeans have seen American military assistance as a way for them to prop up their unsupportable welfare state countries, the socialist countries. They don't have to spend money on defense. Now they can spend it on the welfare state at our expense.
Right.
And that's not right, because part of the treaty obligation is they pony up 2.5% of their GDP. It's not like they got to do a tithing, not 10%, 2.5%. That isn't
that's
too
true.
Much to ask.
But
one more thing, Brian.
Yeah.
Look, the war in Ukraine, I think, to a great extent, maybe not 100%, but maybe 75-80%, is a result of the United States and State Department's meddling in Ukraine. We fomented an illegal coup. We got rid of the democratically elected, Russia-friendly president, Yanukovych, and installed Poroshenko, Petro Poroshenko. That was a puppet government that was hostile to Russia and the ethnic Russians in Lugansk and Donetsk. That set off a civil war in Ukraine. We armed Ukraine with lethal weapons. 9 of the newly installed NATO states were former members of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. NATO's boundaries have been encroaching on Russia's frontiers for some time now. And like any, we always talk about the dictators and they're paranoid. What do you think they're going to do? If we really believe that's what they are, what the hell are we provoking them for? We're running bio labs with deadly pathogens in them in the Ukraine. Now, if Russia or China had done anything like that in Mexico, I think we'd have been justified in invading Mexico.
I'm not trying to make excuses for
Putin or Russia. I know what he is. I know how ruthless he is. I don't trust him any further I can throw him. But it doesn't matter what the country is. They all have what they perceive as their national interest. Again, that's why I was in the turret of an M60A1 tank on the Czech border in the Fulda Gap waiting for the Soviets to come through and invade Western Germany. Because our national interest was perceived to have my ass over there along with hundreds of thousands of others. Russia's the same way, rightly or wrongly.
Yeah. Right, right. You know, Trump alluded to, and it stays on your the same area, stay with me, Trump alluded to, and I'm for it, by the way. He says, but he's misinformed, but I'm still for what he's saying. You know, here's what's going on. I did the story about the fentanyl story. People will say, where the fentanyl comes from? Well, it comes from China, and how did it get there? They go from the border, and they come here. And I did the story, but the fact is that 96% of the fentanyl that's coming over our border are done by Americans. They're bringing that fentanyl over. Where is it coming from? Okay, it's coming from China. And how's it going? How's it filtered in? Through Mexico and over our border. But who's taking it over our border? 96% of the people are Americans who are bringing that fentanyl over to the border. Now, are you going to blame China for manufacturing it? No. Are you going to blame Mexico for harboring it? No. You're going to blame the Americans who are taking that fentanyl, that lethal dose of fentanyl, and bringing it across our own border. That's what you're going to do.
See, a lot of people blame, and Russia and China, to the extent that, given the fact that Russia is such a, I mean, China is such a great big trading partner of ours, you would think they would be responsive to our requests to do what they can to inhibit the fentanyl traffic. Now, that's what they're supposed but this clown Biden didn't even publicly bring the issue up when he met with Xi Jinping. That tells you a lot about him now, doesn't it? I don't think he brought it up privately either. Nobody mentioned it.
Well,
yeah, the primary responsibility is with our druggies here in the United States. Of course it is. That doesn't mean China has no responsibility whatsoever to inhibit the traffic. And given how centrally directed things are in China, it is impossible for me to believe that someone high up in the Chinese government isn't benefiting to some degree from that drug traffic.
Okay.
I refuse to believe that they aren't. Especially in the Chinese military.
Well, it's tit for tat. I mean, we could give them money. We do this in Mexico. We do this in third world countries. We'll give them money to help block the exodus to our country. You know, tighten up your borders. Here's some money. You know, stop the corruption, blah, blah, blah. And we know where that's going. That goes right into the dictator's pocket. We already know that. But one thing I agree with Trump, if anybody asks me, Trump wants to invade Mexico. And Trump wants to do it.
But wait a minute.
Saying,
on what do you base this allegation?
I'm not saying literally. I'm not saying literally. Sometimes Trump will just talk like I talk. He's not saying it literally. He says what's on his mind, okay? So what I'm saying is I'm not saying literally Trump wants to invade Mexico. I am saying that Trump is tired of the cartels. That's fair. Trump is angry at the cartels. That's fair. He has said we got to get those cartels out. He has said that.
Is he wrong?
No, he's not wrong. He's not wrong. Getting the cartels out is what? We already know what that is. And even if he put it on the ballot, I want to invade Mexico because the cartels control Mexico. There's not an American on this earth that doesn't think the cartels are controlling the puppet, the presidential puppet, and who really controls Mexico and benefiting from illegal drugs. We all know this. It's not a person in the world that does not know it. I can ask a person from Canada. She'll know it. Pat, do you believe that the cartel is kind of have a big influence on Mexican politics? They're profiting from the fentanyl that's coming across the borders, even Canadian borders, too. So everybody.
Oh, this American connection is pretty pretty extreme, honey.
Isn't it? From America to Canada. Yeah.
My ex is from down there. And,
from where, Mexico?
Brian, if you haven't seen it yet, I beg of you to watch the movie Sound of Freedom. Even worse than the fentanyl trafficking is the human sexual slave trafficking.
Sure.
And the slave labor trafficking done by the cartels right now on our southern border. Not in 1857 or 1859 or 1860. Right now on the southern border of the United States, that's far worse, even much worse by far. And this administration turning a blind eye to it and enabling it.
Well, I agree with you with the sex trafficking and the thing, and I was talking to Pat, and Pat goes, yeah, there's a big – now, Pat says something very interesting. He says, yeah, it's an American problem because I'm sure that the Americans are bringing it over. And, Pat, can I ask you – and hold on, sorry, I do agree with you. And, Pat, let me ask you that. So you're thinking the Americans are bringing over those drugs, those fentanyls and everything? Is this over your border because we're closer? Is that what's happening?
No, for here, I would say it's coming from China and –
okay.
Places like that, the fentanyl.
But who's who's bringing it over? Do you have? Do you think a lot of Americans?
We have a lot of nationals.
Ah, okay.
And I'll tell you something. I'm going to warn people: don't be buying off that Temu. Because
the Temu. Yeah, I wonder where that's from.
That is not good for us.
Yeah. A lot of the products are from Mexico. I mean, from China, by the way.
It is a Chinese business.
It is, isn't it? You know,
yes,
I had a business.
Right,
yeah,
by,
go ahead. Go ahead, Pat.
Things are sold there to make money for human trafficking and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
I believe it.
People, if they're smart, will stay away from Temu and stick to Amazon and Wish and things like that. Like, don't buy from Temu.
That's good advice. It's funny. I had an online store and I bought products. And then they said, okay, products are reasonable. I go, okay, great. I put it in there. It could be a dress. Brian, a dress is like $19. Okay, I'll do a markup. $29, not that markup. It's a beautiful dress. Then I find out it's from China. And then they marked up the price, and they say, hey, Brian, the dress is $29 retail. Yeah, I got it $29. But it didn't tell you that it's going to cost you $150 to ship it from China. What? They do that. I mean, it's a lot of bullshit inside going. And then when they say China, oh, we'll get it to you in 3 months if we can. What? And you really don't know who you're dealing with, and I'm going with the same level, Pat, that when something is shipped from China, especially as a company like Tmall, my girlfriend pulled up a site on Tmall, and it had a person doing lipstick makeup. And I said, how much is that lipstick makeup? She goes, it says here $1.25. $1.25? You can't even get a candy bar for $1.25. And it shows this woman getting beautiful lips done by lipstick by Temu, which is $1.25. I go, you know, probably know how much mercury is in that thing? She got nuclear lips going on. Those lips are going to fall off. It's like, and it's from China. I'm going, you know what? I'm going to pass on that. $1.19 for some lip gloss. Please. I mean, it's lipstick. Come on. That's a red flag. And going back to what Sarge is saying about the drug trade and the sex trafficking, yes. And then I go back to what Donald Trump, he alluded to, you know, I wish I could go in there. I'm going to put it to this way because I'm not going to say literally. I wish we could go in there and it's cartels a problem. We all know it's the cartels a problem. If there was something like, would you sign this so the United States can invade Mexico? I would sign it in a minute.
Well, Brian,
I couldn't
you do
sign
know
it
the United States
enough.
Did that in 1916, but although they did have the cooperation, an agreement with the Mexican government. They allowed our troops to go in because they didn't have the capabilities to deal with it any more than they have today. And I don't see why it wouldn't be possible to make a similar agreement again today. Yes, we should have the agreement of the Mexican government, but if they give it to us, we can do exactly what we did in 1916, and maybe a little bit more successfully this time.
It would turn into a Vietnam. The jungles of Mexico, the vast countryside, it would turn into a Vietnam story.
It could. What's the alternative?
You know,
to keep letting it happen?
Well, I'll tell you what, and it's going to be worse than
Vietnam.
You know,
Vietnam was like 10,000 miles away. This is right there across our border.
I understand. Can you imagine? This would be worse than like World War II when we put the Japanese in containment camps. Can you imagine if we started a war in Mexico and all the migrants that are living in the United States right now? Can you imagine that we would be
you're repeating all the reasons why the Biden administration ought to be considered treasonous.
No, but it's true. If we started, there's so many people
connected.
Yeah,
I can always say as having a basis in reason.
Right.
In
can
truth.
You imagine the
That's
nightmare
exactly
on that?
That's exactly why the Biden administration should be condemned the way it is for allowing it to happen.
Well, whatever the genie, this has been going on for years, not the Biden, just the Biden administration. This has been going on for
This is just like the floodgates got opened.
I just think that we have information, more information available to us now than we didn't have it then. I don't know if it's more or less, because I do know Obama had the toughest one. I know Trump's getting tough, but I don't know if it's more. I just think we just have social media saying it a lot louder than we had before. But whatever it is, and you may be right, it's just that I'm just had epiphany that if we declared war in Mexico, we will be fighting that on our neighbor across the street. There'll be bombings. There'll be terrorist bombings.
Well, look, I don't want to declare war on Mexico. Maybe in it, if that's what it takes to get rid of these drug traffickers and these human sex traders. I mean, it's not like it's impossible. Would it be difficult? Probably. They got a bigger GDP than most of the nations on the planet.
Exactly. Exactly.
And they have the ability and wherewithal to purchase weapons of war. I mean, real weapons of war, not semi-automatic AR-50. Talking about the real deal that governments have wage warfare with. It would be tough, but it wouldn't be impossible.
It wouldn't be. But you imagine how many casualties of that war would be? With the drum fighting.
Is it worth it to save hundreds of thousands of
American
lives?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Thousands of people being enslaved. Didn't we lose hundreds of thousands of people who came from being enslaved in the middle of the 19th century?
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't like it either. I don't like it one bit. Like I said, three wars I done seen, Brian. You think I want to see another one? Hell no. Sometimes not fighting, though, is worse than fighting.
I know. But what are you going to do? I mean, we want to contain our border. People don't forget that we got corruption on our side. We're thinking, well, you're American, you're right as rain, and you go by the rules and everything. I'm going to tell you something. If they recruited me as a Border Patrol, I'm going to be living in a mansion. I'm going to be the most corrupt Border Patrolman you have ever met. I am. I'm being honest. I couldn't resist it. Hey, Brian, here's $50,000. Can you look the other way? What? I don't even see who I'm talking to.
I may be saying this a bit prematurely because something else might come out that will put paid to what I'm saying right now.
Right.
But out of all the law enforcement agencies in the United States, the one about which I hear the least corruption at a low level is Border Patrol agents. They seem to be pretty committed to their job. I'm not saying it's not there. I'm sure it is.
Right.
But given the enormous amount of money the narco traficantes have to spread around and the human and the coyotes and all the others, you just don't hear too much about corruption in the Border Patrol. Maybe they're doing a good job of hiding it, but
it doesn't seem
to be that prevalent in low-level Border Patrol agents.
It's just until a whistleblower will blow his whistle. It's a weak,
then we'll
weak,
know.
Not.
But
it's
right
a,
now,
it's
I
a, well,
don't
it's
see
a,
it.
Okay, here we go. I see it. Here's me in my Jeep because I got a thing on my arm that says Border Patrol, and I'm cruising. I'm Brian. I'm listening to the song. I'm listening to "We Gotta Get Out of This Place," and I'm rocking and rolling. I'm going over the border, and then I see some migrants. Oh, migrants! And then I'm chasing them, and they're running from me. I get in my Jeep. I'm getting some migrants. I catch the migrant. What are you going to do, Brian? Well, we got to toss him back like a fish. He's too small. We toss him back over the fence.
Catch and release is what they literally call it. They literally call it.
That's what I am saying to you. I know it's a catch and release. And so if I'm running around catching and releasing, knowing that motherfucker will come back over the border within 6 months, he's going to do it differently, and he's going to make it this time. I bet you the average migrant tries four times before they successfully make it. You don't try it the first time. It's like, dude, you can talk to a migrant. You made it the first time? Yeah, the first time. That's unheard of. There's too many things can happen.
Brian,
the coyotes
they don't have to. The only ones that are worried about about getting caught are the ones who are identified as being on the terrorist witch or identified as criminals.
Right.
If you're not, the best course for you to do is to surrender, come up with your fake asylum claim, and get processed in the United States with a parole for 8 years of legal residency until your hearing comes up. Why would you run away? You surrender.
Exactly.
It's automatic entry under this clown.
Well, that's what it was, a joke with Cheech and Chong. Those of you who are old enough to know who Cheech and Chong was, Cheech was, he did a movie Welcome to America or something like that. They were talking about that. And he was trying to find a job. He couldn't find a job. He was getting really, he couldn't hand to mouth. He couldn't find a job. He goes, I want to go back to Mexico, but he couldn't afford it. I know. Why don't I get caught? They'll catch me, and they'll give me a plane ride back home.
Would that were the case today? It's not. You show up. You give your fake asylum claim. NGO outfits out there are coaching them in what to say when they're questioned by an asylum officer. They give the correct responses. It's like automatic. It's like pro forma. It's like just, wink and a nod, wave on it. There's nothing to this. They should surrender if you want to get into the country. You've got 8 years guaranteed legal residency.
Exactly.
8 years.
So why am I
And even then,
so why am I
you don't show up for
so
hearing.
You...
There's no interior enforcement. There's no interior enforcement for all practical purposes. Once you get across the border, you're here to stay unless you come to the attention of the authorities through some misdeed.
Right. And that's why I think I would be on a take. Because I'm a human being. I go to Pat, and Pat's a righteous person. I go to you, Pat. Pat, I'm going to put you in a truck. I'm putting you on a truck securing the Canadian border. Okay, Pat? She's probably busy. But I'm just saying that if I was crossing her border and I said to her, look, you know what's going to happen. And she says, yes. You're going to catch and you're going to release me. Yes. Okay, fine. Maybe I'll have 5 or 6 days here with some good food. I got a roof over my head. I'll make other friends that you're going to deport because you think it's really bad because you're going to deport me because guess what? I'm a draft dodger. I don't want to go back to the United States. Please keep me in Canada. No, we're going to send you back. I say, hey, Pat, here's $50,000. You go, what? No human being are going to say, you know what? My salary is $1,200 a month. I get benefits. You cannot bribe me. It's just not humanly possible. I don't know anybody that's righteous that's going to turn down that money short of working with the cartel. I'm not going to say if somebody goes, okay, Brian, here's $20,000, turn your head, okay, because I'm going to catch and release you anyway. But if I get to... Hey, Brian, so-and-so wants to talk to you. He's the head of cartel. I'm out of there. No, I'm not making business with the cartel. I'll take the little shit, the little thing from you guys, from the coyotes. If you want to give me sex from some age of 18 and over and she looks halfway decent, you can give me a little hand job. Guess what? I'll take the hand. But I'm not going deep because there is a story. My brother's a correctional officer. And he retired. He said there was a story about this guy who was on the take. He was a police officer. And he was on the take for the cartel. And it was some shipment he didn't deliver. Something happened. He was living the life of Riley, but he screwed up. He ended up in some ditch with his head half cut off. Sooner or later, they get you. The cartel will get you. Half the people that the cartel knows are in our federal prisons right now, and we're releasing them on probation. Don't think we're not. Right, Sarge? Half those people who are legal have done some crime. They know people who know people. So don't think that they don't. They'll find somebody in our jails that are connected to the drug trade, they'll send messages out on their phone. If they want to hit somebody in Los Angeles, they could. They want to put a hit on somebody in Vegas, they could. Don't think that their arms are kind of short. The cartel has a big, strong arms. And corruption?
Oh, yeah.
The corruption is the thing, and I'll be the first one. I am a corruptible guy. Pat, I'm glad you're here. Pat, let's say you're a Border Patrol woman, okay? And you catch me, and you know through your system that they're just going to throw me back like a fish. And so you catch me, I'm in your Jeep, and you're going to say, you know, I'm going to have to take you back. And then all of a sudden I take off my shirt and I oil my chest and going, are you going to take me back now, lady? Ooh.
You're going up to
He's like, oh, look at my illegal nipples. Oh, wouldn't you like to touch them, lady? And you go, well, you know, I'm not going to take you back that fast.
Did you hear John?
No, what did John say?
He's a dream on.
I know. And you find out he's gay. He's really doing it, John. Hello, John. I'm going to take off
your
shirt to
you.
You
got to laugh out of that.
I know. I just used that to get to you. I really like you, John. You're my Ken to my Barbie. Oh, my God. I would be.
Well, you know,
I would be,
well, you know what, Brian? Look at the way that they came up with this border bill. Now, I don't know what these guys thinking. That's why they had to sneak it in. That's why they wanted to rush it through so nobody could see what was in it. Can you imagine a worse border bill at a time like this with the American people howling to shut down the border? And the last priority they want to do is to shut down the border. They didn't shut down the border in anything in this bill. All they did was to legalize illegal immigration. And talk about they had to do it in order to reform the bill, in order for Joe Biden to have the powers he needed to have to shut down the border. And as you, I'm sure you found out by now, given my the information I provided to you, he already has every bit of legal authority he needs right now to completely shut it down without one more law being passed.
Well, he has a I mean, basically, it's a Republican bill, tell you the truth, what I understand.
Yeah.
It's the strongest bill we had. Is it the best bill in the world? No.
It was horrid.
But it is the strongest bill.
It was horrid. It was one of the worst ever.
Well,
and I will go into detail
know.
As to why I believe it. I'm not going to make it up. I can take it right from the bill.
There was
nothing to recommend it if you believe in the national security of the United States. Not a thing.
Well, that's not true. I mean,
they did have
limits before they would.
You're challenging me now. If you say that's not true.
I'm trying to, because they did have limitations in that bill that they will shut the border down. It's one of the strongest bipartisan bill we ever had. It's not the best in the world.
Only after 5,000 or more come in a day. That's literally in the bill, 5,000.
But
so they're legalizing up to 5,000. And
then it's
optional for the president to do. He doesn't have to do it anyway. Do you think Biden would? No, he wouldn't.
You know, it's the strongest.
There's nothing in this bill.
But you got a lot of Republicans.
Nothing.
You got a lot of Republicans who want that bill done on your side. Well, you're not a Republican. You're a Libertarian, I think.
What did I say?
Huh? What did I say?
Because the Republicans behind it. Because many of them are just corrupt as
I just said that you're not a true Republican, and I understand it, but you have libertarian views too. Am I correct or no? I'm not a libertarian.
I'm a constitutionalist.
You're what?
That's
what
I am. That's why I'm so rare.
I once gave this lady, and she was. I gave this lady $25, and she was a prostitutionist.
Too many Republicans and almost no Democrats. Actually believe in holding to the Constitution.
Did you say you're a prostitutionist? What's a prostitutionist?
Okay, I knew you would twist that.
I didn't hear what you said. I swear to God, I'm hearing that you said you were a prostitutionist. I'm not joking.
Constitutionalist. You know how many syllables that is? I'm going to spell out each word.
Yes. Don't hurt me.
Constitutionalist.
Okay, I thought you said you're a prostitutionist.
Yeah, yes, where your mind works.
I know where my mind is. You leave my dirty mind alone, mister.
But look, man, let me tell you another thing, says, okay?
Yes.
Again, that bill would have closed the border with more than 5,000 illegals crossed every day. It can only be used for a limited number of days, and it's that provision sunset after 3 years. So here's what they did. They said that there has to be a minimum, now listen to me now, a minimum of 1,400 people processed through legal ports of entry a day. That is a requirement in the bill. A minimum. There's no maximum, but there has to be a minimum. So what they do is they take the ones who don't, they close down the border. Let's say they close down the border like they say they're going to do. Then all they do is they take the ones with asylum claims to legal entries, and they process them there. They're not closing down the border. That's not the intent.
Well,
they're not
okay.
even doing anything to keep them out.
But what would you rather do, Sarge, if you had
Wait a minute, you're just ignoring what I'm saying. This is why I said it's bullshit.
I heard. I know part of the bill. I know what
There's
you're saying.
There's nothing to this thing that
you.
Is good.
I'm not
Let me
arguing
tell you another
you
thing it was
going to
give. It was going to give 50,000 extra employment and family reunification visas each year for the next 5 years. That's 250,000 reunification chain migration visas. They were going to give a new visa category to allow non-citizens to visit their family in the U.S. And then when they get here, they won't ever leave again. Then you got these, they had, what else they had? They granted illegals full asylum benefits and citizenship within 4 years, and they give a work permit for 1 year. And then they got illegals from non-contiguous countries. And now a contiguous country is a country that are like forming the chain of Central America. You know, Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador. Those are all contiguous countries. And in the bill it said illegals from non-contiguous countries will not be counted toward the number of aliens required to shut down the border. So if they're coming from Russia or China or Kazakhstan or Albania or any other country that's not contiguous, has a contiguous border with the United States or Central American countries, they're not even counted. That would be all the terrorists
well,
might come from Yemen or Saudi Arabia or Qatar.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even counted toward that 5,000 total.
I remember in that country,
this
Qatar.
This is the first bill I've ever seen.
I know. I remember. I'm really in my policy on Qatar is when I went on tour, I rocked it with my Qatar. I know, Joe Sarge. It's not funny.
I'm sure you... Was it an electric guitar?
It was an electric guitar.
Okay. Well,
For those of us that... And this including me. I'm going to... And Sarge, I hear you. I'm going to give you a little bit of what Sarge is talking about. This is regarding the border and the issue that it has. It's only 3 minutes. Just listen to what they're talking about. It's more Fox. It's a Fox spin on it. So... Give it a listen so we can get you up to speed what we're talking about. My Sarge is a little bit anxious about the border bill. Here we go.
About the escalating crisis on the Texas border, my word for this situation is busted, mainly because of the collapse of the border deal on Capitol Hill and the initial failure by Republicans to impeach the Secretary of Homeland Security. Greg, escalation, you know, that's also a good word for what's happening. It's all coming just a few weeks before the start of the primary early voting. No coincidence in that?
Rudy, while the political volatility of this crisis has intensified from bad to worse, I'm not sure it's happening as part of a calculated primary strategy other than the former president throwing a percussion grenade under the Senate's bipartisan proposal and essentially burning it to the ground. His supporters believe Mr. Trump's sabotage was completely justified, even if the so-called invasion gets worse before it gets better. Others, of course, see the withholding of substantial resources for border security simply to stoke the fire of collective outrage as an overt abdication from responsibility by Republicans and a hypocritical act of political gamesmanship ahead of the November 5th election. Bottom line, while hardly a solution, the compromise could have applied a temporary tourniquet of money and manpower to help reduce the flow of illegal entry and, just as importantly, drugs. Instead, everyone in Washington just...
So, here we go. Hold on.
Just gave the cartels a green light to proceed with business as usual.
I don't know if I agree with that, Greg. You know, the proposed Senate border deal was, as you mentioned, endorsed by the Border Patrol Union as a better-than-nothing deal. But I thought the plan was really just more of a political Trojan horse by the Democrats. You know, it would... If you look at it, it would allow about 35,000 illegal crossings a week before a shutdown order could be issued, if it would be issued. And that's equal to the population of towns like Hutto, Claiborne, Lake Jackson coming in each week. So, Stephen, this expansion plan by Abbott, you know, maybe in anticipation of the inaction on Capitol Hill. What have you heard?
Let's start by saying this. To quote my favorite rapper, Jay-Z, he had a song called Politics as Usual. That's what this is, kind of bouncing off of what Greg said. I think Governor Abbott was going to do this regardless. If they would have passed the bill or not, Governor Abbott is dug in on this. That's why that was my word. At a campaign event in North Texas this week, he said that Texas has put up more border wall and barriers than Donald Trump. And so Governor Abbott is thriving off of this. This is a big win for him, and I think he had this plan regardless of what the Senate was going to do.
You know, the border has been that one issue Republicans appear to be united on, but all of this GOP infighting lately, federally and state level, seems to have exposed a big fracture with that. Greg, you agree?
You know, Rudy, I do. Anybody who has listened to lawmakers like John Cornyn and Dan Crenshaw over the past months heard advocacy for practical progress, if not perfection, on the border. Now, last week, Crenshaw even lashed out at GOP colleagues for declaring the Senate plan dead before anyone...
Well, the infighting regarding the Republicans, and that doesn't go unnoticed with Haley. Haley's having some problems. She's not gonna, you know, they're wondering why is Haley still in office? We're talking about it. Here's the headline news right here, February 13th. Is this the 13th? Yeah. Nikki Haley suggests Trump is aiming to take the election by promoting his daughter-in-law for the RNC leadership. That's what's going on. And she doesn't like it. Laura Trump, the wife of Eric Trump, has much less political experience than Whatley. Now, Whatley is, if I remember right, Whatley is the vice chairman of the RNC. If I remember, I'm trying to think with the Republican National Committee. And what happens if they're trying to get rid of what's her name, who is a leader of it? But Whatley goes through the ranks. He has to step up, and he becomes the leader of the RNC. But Donald Trump is saying, no, we don't want him. We want Laura Trump to take that thing. So he wants to override that situation and put Laura, who is his daughter-in-law. Now, here's the problem. See, you know, here's where your head's going to turn around like the Exorcist. Didn't Donald Trump have a problem with Hunter Biden with doing business with Joe Biden? But now he wants his daughter-in-law to be the head of the RNC. This is where your head spins around like the Exorcist.
Selling influence of the office of vice president is one thing. The RNC is a private political organization. It ain't the same thing. Hunter Biden was influencing his father to sell the office of the vice president and its influence.
Are you
the Republican Party is not a governmental organization. It's a private organization.
Well, the thing about the RNC is that, did you read it later, that the RNC is broke? They're closing some offices around it.
Well, that's your problem.
It.
Let him figure out a way to get more money. Maybe Laura Trump is the one to help him raise it. Yes, I've listened to Laura Trump on many occasions. I don't think she'd be an affirmative action appointment. She's smart. She's capable. She's already run businesses pretty well, it would seem. She probably has the acumen for the job. She probably be – not only is – okay, you can say there's nepotism involved in it, but what if it's nepotism and it's a good choice?
Well, I personally like nepotism. And
what does Hunter Biden have going for himself? His ability to snort lines of coke?
Well, no, that's Donald Trump Jr. Come on now. We know he's a cokehead. That's
he's a reformed stone.
He's a reformed cokehead.
When did Hunter Biden ever really reform himself? We think he might have. You really don't think he's the one who left that cocaine
bag in
the White House?
He got his cookie. He got his certificate, and he got his cookie. But Donald Trump Jr. is snoring like a motherfucker right now. He is snowing in Donald Jr.'s house on a summer day.
A track record doesn't make any difference to you then, right? I mean, Eric Trump has got a pretty good sustained track record of being off of the jump. I don't think that's the case with Hunter Biden yet. He ain't been quote, reformed, unquote, long enough.
Okay. Well, that's it for the Coke thing. More, you know what I say? More shrooms, less. If everybody was on mushrooms, I think we'll get.
Oh, and by the way, Brian, I forgot to tell you this.
Yeah.
You know, look, that border bill that's now default. Look, it's dead. It's dead, Jim. It's dead.
Yeah, I know it is.
Look, let me tell you something about that border bill. That border bill got rid of illegal immigration, all right, simply by declaring it legal. They don't let them go through the illegal points of entry. They move them to legal ones and say, see, now we have legal immigration. They declare illegal aliens legal.
You don't remember what Ronald Reagan did who declared amnesty to all legal aliens? You don't
remember
Ronald Reagan doing that?
Okay, I've dealt with this before, Brian. Every time I tell you what really happened, you just come back with the same old rap again. Again, that was supposed to be a one-time deal. They shook hands on it with Tip O'Neill. And it was leader of the House of Representatives, said this is a one-time deal, Mr. President. We'll never come back to it again. This is going to shut down the border. We promise. Pinky promise.
He was the
only
president.
And Ronald Reagan, being the gentleman that he was, took them at his word that I will sign in the law a bill. I won't veto it, giving them one-time amnesty, provided we shut down the border from now and forever. And guess what? He got played. He got Lucy Browned. Hey, Lucy Brown.
Who played the president of the United? Oh, come on.
Tip O'Neill Congress, man. It's all there on the record.
Well, Tip O'Neill. Well,
they said they were
going to
shut down the border and end this.
They'd never come back to ask for another amnesty again.
He got played.
We're going to go off the air, and we got 9 minutes left, and you got another 111 raising their hand. They've been listening to the show all morning. And, let's take a guess who that guy is. Pat, who do you think this other 111 is? They've been on the show, listening to the show all the time, and they just raised their hand. Who do you think it is, our mystery 111?
Mr. Solutions?
Mr. Solutions. What do you think? What do you think, Sarge? What chances of this is Mr. Solution that's been listening to the show all day, and he just raised his hand because he sees there's only 9 minutes left? What is the chances of that not be?
Mr. Johnny Come Lately Solutions.
Well, let's see who this mystery person is. 111, you're live on Brian the Hammer Jackson Show.
No.
You know it's Mr. Solution because he waits for the buildup. 111, we got 8 minutes. You're live on the air. You raised your hand. Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to put you back on hold and mute because I'm going to go into something else. Last chance to talk. You just raised your hand. Okay. Maybe they just want to listen. Since I'm a gentleman, he's not talking. I don't hear any noise in the background. I'm not going to mute him because he seems to be a nice person. Sarge makes a good point. But he denies what Ronald Reagan did. He denies the thing about...
I didn't deny it. He did grant amnesty. See, you don't listen to me. I said he granted amnesty.
I do listen to you, but you kept saying only for one day. You said he got played.
That they would secure the border and never ask for this again.
You said he got played. He did it for only one day. It still doesn't matter. He did amnesty. And not to mention selling arms.
I didn't deny that.
Contra.
You said I'm denying it. I didn't.
Okay. And what about selling arms?
It was conditional on the Democrats holding up their end of the bargain, which, like the bastard liars they are, they didn't.
Okay. What about the Contra scandal with the arms, with the Contra, the Contra rebels?
You got
the
same subject, don't you?
I'm just saying that Reagan is your guy's, this is your guy's thing. This is who you guys boast about. Reagan is the Reaganomics and Ronald Reagan is the Ronald Reagan party, not the John Trump, not the Donald Trump party. You guys put Reagan on a pedestal and you go Reagan. But if you go with Reagan, there's a lot of stuff. Reagan did the amnesty thing. And Reagan was the one with the little weapons, with the little kind of comfort thing. And this is your champion that you bring to the party. and that you want to go there. Now, I'm just saying, throw rocks when you live in a glass house, because those windows are very expensive. That's what they say in Canada, but they just say A.
Are you saying that Ronald Reagan committed a huge harm by opposing communist expansion in Nicaragua? Okay, if that's your argument.
Okay, well, somebody bought those
guns. Okay,
guns.
I mean, if you think that's a hard human rights violation, okay.
No.
After all,
we're the ones that got through.
Wasn't it a good thing when Victoria Nuland and State Department and Blinken got together and got rid of a duly elected president of Ukraine to install one that was more to the European Union's liking? What was your problem with that then?
Well,
why would you have a problem with Reagan,
that,
and that's what we did in Ukraine?
Well, didn't Reagan make a deal with the drug dealers in the jungles of Bolivia?
No,
and says you can bring the
drugs.
Oh, he did
that's
not?
What they
hold
that's
my
what
weed.
They claim.
Yes,
that's what that TV show is about. Snowball.
Hold my beer.
No, it ain't. No, it ain't. That's all speculation.
Okay. Speculation. Okay.
And speculation.
All speculation.
You can believe it if you want to.
Because I went to a meeting once, and a guy named Ray Ray goes, my name is Ray Ray. I never did drugs until Ronald Reagan came into the office.
Look, were there some people who worked with the CIA who were probably proper from the drug trade? Yeah. Now, the question is, was it sanctioned by the United States government? Now, if it is, then I'm going to have to go with you. There is no evidence yet to show that it was. Hell, we had people smuggling dope back from Vietnam and dead bodies.
Right. And you're right.
I mean, what? You think people aren't going to be able to profit from things like that whenever they can? It always happens, Brian. Always.
You are right, because I remember Ronald Reagan took responsibility, and he put a big drug program in because he found out people were on drugs. And so he sent Nancy out and he goes, you guys who are addicted to drugs, here's our program. Just say no. What? What?
I mean, I'm telling you right now, man, Richard Nixon did not like the idea of drugs being smuggled out of Vietnam.
Yeah, I'm smoking fentanyl.
One of the reasons he got in trouble in Watergate out of an unintended consequence was his opposition to the drug trade that was going
true.
On. I mean, that's his government
true.
Wasn't sanctioning it.
I agree.
Even
I
though
agree
it went
that.
On, Brian, we weren't sanctioning it.
I know, but what I'm trying to say is,
I mean, how are you gonna
we
stop
don't have
we
a...
We sanctioned the drug trade on the southern border?
Well, I
not
don't
directly.
I'm going to be for you. I said one side. There's one side I'm going to be for you. I don't like these cities that welcome in. What do they call them? That you can come in.
Sanctuary cities.
I don't like sanctuary cities. I don't. I don't like here in California that if you're an illegal migrant that you got full coverage health insurance. And other people are working their ass off and they don't have insurance. I don't like it. So there are things that not everybody's perfect. There's things that we could deal with. There's 3 minutes left. And when Sarge is on the air, I could talk forever because I could sit down and have a coffee with Sarge, and I could see him sitting there with a big shotgun on his lap in a rocking chair and says, speak freely, Brian. No worries. I can see that. I want to thank Sarge for coming in. I want to thank Sarge for coming in. We always
I'm always glad to come in and straighten you out, Brian. Any chance I get, it's always fun hanging out with the naked one over there, too.
I know the naked one. I mean, I know. You come to my show and you get a peep show on what's going
man.
On there.
It's good.
Thank
you. I mean, look, if you ain't got a right to be naked in a privacy own home, you ain't got a right to be naked.
You come to Brian's show and you're listening for talk and you get a peep show. Ooh. We got a naked sex.
Yeah, your what more
I bring the nakedness.
Sexual stimulant is there than your imagination?
I bring the nudity to talk radio, baby.
And
I want to thank you.
The fantasies you have when you put your imagination to work, man,
that's right.
The best porno flick.
The best porn talk you're going to ever have.
Oh.
Next week we got the BDSM lady. She'll be coming there and whipping us into shape. That's right.
Talking about that with you?
I know. Hello, I'm Brian's friend.
I want to
thank
you,
Sarge. I know. You know I love you, buddy. Thank you for coming in. And thank you, Pat, for bringing the nakedness and the sexiness. You bring the sexy back. Thank you for bringing the sexy back to the show. Thanks for John having a good sense of humor. John, thank you, man. Thank you for not taking me seriously. I really appreciate it. I really do. And I want to thank everybody for listening to my show. It's not my show. It's all of our shows. It's all of our shows. And we're going to end it with that French song, Lady Marmalade, for the French people. And this is a request for Pat and John. Here you go. This is a request for Pat and John. French, oui, oui, ma chérie. We'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah.